much about. So easy. You gotta
put it in perspective. Dear Lord, they're back.
We're doomed.
Doomed.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ho, 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 it's Rodney on the Rock here. I'd like to wish world peace and lower taxes. Hey, I just got my new cable bill. They raised the price. I'd like to do a commercial for pistachios.
He could go all the way.
Make a wish. It's 2011.
Can you please stop doing this stuff?
That's no way to talk to an old lady.
Well, I'm sorry.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's a real conversation when I hear it. People don't talk like that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Easy in, easy out, easy lube.
Roll another one.
I actually do like white bands.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Carol, hold my car.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Roll another one.
Girl, when are you gonna let me tap that ass?
Just like the other one.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you?
This one seems to be about to end.
Yeah.
And I don't have another cent.
Do you ever scratch your privates too hard and then you're just in pain?
Freaky deekies need love too.
Just pass it around.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
That's what she said.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham, of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
Our feature presentation.
2011.
Yeah.
All right. Right on
Very
top
strong.
Of it.
Come
nice.
On now. Nice. Hey, party people, it's finally Friday. I believe it is the 7th of January already.
2011.
Welcome to an all-new Kevin and Bean show. I love Bill Murray so much.
What
and
happened?
The stories, well, every few months there's another story about Bill Murray that makes you become more fascinated
about
with
how
him.
Crazy I mean, he's becoming.
About how crazy he's yeah. become. We've talked about this mm-hmm. on the show before about how he doesn't have a guy that you go through. You have to find someone who knows his phone number and then you have to call, leave a message, and
doesn't have an agent or a manager.
I love that about
any
him.
Way of getting a hold of him.
He's just
right. He's like the A-team.
Yeah,
if you can find him, then maybe you can hire him.
Exactly. So you hear that story, and you hear that you leave a message, and he may call you back in 4 minutes, or he may never call you back, or he may call you back in a year. You don't know with Bill Murray, right? And then there was that story that was going around that I never really got the feeling whether it was 100% true or if it was apocryphal. The one where he was walking up behind people in Central Park.
Oh, yeah.
Getting real close to him going, guess who? And then they turn around, and they see it's Bill Murray, and he goes, no one will ever believe you. And then he just walks off into the night. I want that story to be true.
Me too. I would believe it.
I would believe that because he's that weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, in his mind, he knows no one is going to believe that story.
Of course not. Right. And by the way, if he was really doing that or is still doing that, that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
I agree.
And then, you know, every once in a while I'll see there was that, I think it was at South by Southwest, Bill Murray showed up at some party,
That's
some small
right.
band's party and started DJing.
That's right.
He's just crazy. So now there's a new one that's on a blog out of New York City. And this one I do believe because the guy's got the story and photos to prove it. He went to, I guess in New York they have a place, and maybe they have several places that are private roomed karaoke bars where you and your friends go to a place and you get your own room to and your own machine to just be in there and karaoke.
So you can keep everybody else out and let in only your friends.
Exactly. That's cool. I think they're like private dining rooms, except, you know, it's like for a private party, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so here's what he says. About 15 minutes after we arrived, we got a knock on the door, and it was Bill effing Murray. We were all shocked, of course, but at this point, we were pretty trashed, and the party just kept going. He was super nice, and he and his girlfriend fit right in. His girl was really cute, and as far as I remember, she was from Amsterdam. She sang a bunch of random French songs.
Let me just back up. I'm sorry. This is just a guy that has a private room to himself, and Bill Murray had nothing to do with it?
Bill Murray just knocked on the door, and they let him in.
Hey, mind if I come in? Wow.
He's there with his friends. I mean, there's photos on the blog, and it looks like he's got, I don't know, he's probably got four or five friends with him, guy writing the blog, and then Bill Murray shows up with this girl, right? At some point, he bought us all around us some weird green drink, but wouldn't tell us what it was. I later found out it was chartreuse, some French liqueur made by monks, which, of course, is what Bill Murray is drinking, by the way. He's not having a beer, right?
No way.
Anyway, you're supposed to sip it like an idiot. I just shot it down. The high point of the evening was when Bill and I sang a duet of an Elvis Presley song called Marie's the Name of His Latest Flame.
What?
I know it was random, but so was the night. We were all drinking and dancing and screaming our asses off. We tried not to make him feel uncomfortable, though, of course, later we all joked about picking the Ghostbusters theme. Amazingly, they stuck around the entire night, about 4 hours. As you can imagine, it was all pretty surreal, something I will never forget. Viva Bill Murray.
That is the best.
Wow, that's just so bizarre.
He's so awesome.
People that, you know, that size celebrity never, ever, I mean, they do the opposite of that.
Yeah.
They have
that's
people
right.
to keep people away. They would never crash a party.
I mean, you think about somebody like David Letterman, who has probably never been sighted in the wild.
Right.
You've never gone to the hardware store and run into David Letterman because you get the impression that he has people to do everything, and he's in a private car, and he just goes back and forth to work and stays in the mansion, you know?
Yeah.
Bill Murray's out there singing karaoke with the kids.
But he's crazy.
But he's so crazy and so awesome.
That's what's good about him, too. I mean, the guy's just lost his mind, but he's still, I think, a good actor.
He's a really good actor and a funny guy.
Yeah. So.
It's frustrating as a Bill Murray fan because he seems to refuse to do comedy like he used to. And he's so brilliant as a comedic actor. He has very specific tastes of the types of movies he likes to do, which are also very good movies. And he is also excellent in them. But nobody can do comedy like Bill Murray. And I miss him in those roles.
Yeah. Well, if you could find him, maybe you could talk him into doing comedy.
So good times, right?
Good times. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Check. Oh, there we go. Check, check.
I think it's
check.
We're past that.
Check.
I think we're past
check. That. Hello. Check. Check. Hello. Check.
We're past checking.
Check. Check. Hello. Check. Check.
I think everything's working.
Hello. Check. Hey. What's up?
Okay. So we're good.
All right. We're good.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Last night, I don't know if you saw Jersey Shore. They're back.
Two
oh
hours.
Man, I forgot to tape it. How
they're
sad.
Back.
I missed it. I'm not going to be able to sing.
Bean hates it, but LaQuisha loves it.
I hate everything about the Jersey Shore.
She hates it, too.
But see, here's the thing.
But she loves to hate.
Everybody, it's the same stuff. I mean, I love it because they're horrible.
Right.
You
right.
hate it because they're horrible. I mean, it
but
really is.
Do you watch it and feel better about yourself, or do you do as I do and watch it and feel worse about myself because I'm so stupid for spending time watching
it? I don't judge myself like that. I'd give up life a long time ago.
Not just yourself, but the fact that these people are
but
now
America.
Successful. Yes, exactly.
But
America.
See, I'm not responsible for that either.
Right,
so
but aren't
care.
You contributing to that by making the show an even bigger hit by watching it?
I don't play a bigger role in life. I'm just a doofus. You know what I mean? Like
he doesn't have that responsibility.
I got no responsibilities because no one comes to me for anything.
Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. Well, I know I just feel like rather than give them a TV show and book deals,
Snooki's BFF.
Right, but they should be deported is what I think.
Can we do that?
I don't think.
I'm just saying that would be better.
We have a new.
But I do love LaQuisha, so I'm excited to talk to her.
Could we let them back in just to film Jersey Shore?
No, you're missing the point.
Kick them back out again? No. We also have comedian Jay Mohrs.
Yes.
On the program today.
Jay Mohrs. I love him.
Jay Mohrs is the best. He is one of the funniest people that I've ever met. And I always get the feeling when he's in here that I'm dumb. I always get that feeling like, I don't understand.
Well, he loses me a lot.
Half
and he's
of
so
his,
quick.
Yeah,
he's
that's
so quick.
It. Well,
why.
He's quick and his knowledge base, you know, I'm a child compared to him. I don't know what he's talking about half the time.
But I laugh and smile.
Like I do, right. Yeah. You fake it because you know what he's saying is funny.
Right.
Anyway, he's coming in today. We have that. We have G-Force Kevin Pereira, who's going to give us a preview of what's coming up this year in electronics. The CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, is going on in Vegas.
Yeah.
So we have him on the program today. We have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Couple of guys by the name of the Coen Brothers.
How about that?
Wow.
Coen Brothers. The Coen Brothers.
I'm a little nervous about that. They should not be doing shows like ours, so I don't want to embarrass us by asking dumb questions, but they're so incredible.
Again,
what are you going
to
do?
You're right. I mean, you've got to give that up, Bean. You have to learn to accept being bad.
Embrace it.
Check, one, two, check. Hello. Hey, sounds great.
Way past check.
All right. Check, one, two, check. Hello. Hello, hello.
Works,
check, one, two.
Fine.
Hey, here we go. Check, one, two. Hey.
Already going.
Hey, there we go.
All right.
There we go. All right, good sound. Good sound.
All right, we're set now.
Good sound. All right. We'll take a break and go back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:50.
Kevin, lay off the sauce, man.
All right. Finally, Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in. Ralph Garman joins us now. What you talking about, Ralph?
Well, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Most importantly, I've got passes to give away to the world premiere of a little movie that the kids are calling The Green Hornet.
And they're calling it that because...
Because Seth Rogen plays The Green Hornet.
Yeah.
Costumed crime fighter with his sidekick, Kato. Aye. As they protect Central City from the evils of people like Christoph Waltz. In the meanwhile, he manages to get a little something-something from Cameron Diaz.
Ooh.
If you'd like to attend, it's a very special red carpet world premiere. This isn't just some lame-ass Kevin and Bean screening. This is the real deal. Seth will be there, and Jay Chou, Cameron Diaz, Christoph Waltz, all the stars will be walking the red carpet. You can attend if you're caller number 5 right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. The fifth caller at that number will win a pair of passes. And, of course, the movies in theaters everywhere on January the 14th.
2011!
Yes!
Is that old yet?
No.
Okay.
Never loved anything more. Lindsay Lohan may be conquering her addiction to alcohol, but is she conquering her addiction to Samantha Ronson?
She didn't really move next door to her, did she?
Well, Kevin, she rented a home in Venice, California.
Right.
Down there by the beach. And much to her surprise, she claims...
Oh, she didn't know?
Her ex-girlfriend, Samantha Ronson, lived directly next door to her.
And she didn't know that.
How could she know that, Lisa?
Well, what are the chances?
How could she possibly know?
What are the chances, honestly?
Look,
yes, you're right.
Venice is a very small town. And when you move there, the odds are you're going to know the person you're living next to.
Wow, that's...
She claims, look, if it makes her uncomfortable, I'll move. All said. Without moving.
Did Samantha say, okay, move?
Now, apparently, she has been popping up at some of Samantha's favorite hangouts.
Oh, man.
New York Post says she was seen this week sniffing around the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills, where Samantha had just been hours before, and apparently Lindsay just missed her, much to her chagrin, I'm sure.
Isn't it fairly obvious to Lindsay Lohan that Samantha Ronson probably knows she's out of rehab and would contact her if she was interested in contacting her?
Oh, Bean, you don't understand love.
I guess not.
You don't get it.
They were fighting and breaking up and fighting and breaking up and getting back together for a year before they finally split up.
Yeah, it was a disastrous relationship.
So this is not good.
Apparently it's no better now.
What is wrong with this woman?
Michael Douglas is just a stone stud. Just a dude. Just a guy. Okay? Of course, famously has been battling throat cancer for the past year. Stage 4 throat cancer, mind you. Well, he's undergone chemotherapy and radiation, and apparently he's doing much better, so much so that he's back at the gym. Would you be back at the gym?
That's impressive.
I would use that as a sweet-ass excuse to not get back in the gym for like 5 years. Oh, no, throat cancer. Nope, can't.
Got to stay on the couch. Here,
have Catherine Zeta-Jones rub my feet
right.
While I watch my stories. With some bonbons. But he was back at the Equinox Fitness Complex, and the New York Post says that Catherine was with him, and the staff continually went up to him and wished him well and gave him some congratulations, and they say he looked great, and he was working out hard, and he's feeling much better.
Very happy about that.
Congratulations to that very, very cool dude.
And he not only got a woman 25 years his junior, he got Catherine Zeta-Jones. Yeah. He is the man.
And he kept her.
Yeah, and they seem to have a great relationship. And kids and family and the whole nine yards.
All right, he's better than us.
He's much better than you, that's for sure. I think he and I are probably about equal.
That list is long.
Probably about it. I think there's some parity there. Hugh Hefner and his soon-to-be wife, Crystal Harris, are in the news.
If he lives long enough to make it to the
league. How dare you, sir?
Just say it.
He's going to live forever.
How dare you, but I still am baffled by his decision to get married.
Maybe he really loves her.
Right?
Could happen. Happens to the best of us.
Isn't he smart enough to see the downside?
Yeah, can't you love her and not marry?
What is the downside, really, for him?
That's true.
At his age.
And he can do a prenup.
At 84, I'm sure the prenup is ironclad. I'm sure since she was one of the multiple girlfriends at the time when they were hanging out, that there is some understanding where he's not going to be expected to be exclusive to her.
All right, so then what's the upside? He already has her and
he gets to be married if he wants to.
Oh. All right.
He's got it all.
He does.
Holly Madison was the other girlfriend. Remember the original three from the Girls Next Door? And Holly was the significant of the three, and she desperately wanted to marry Hef.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, it's not right for me. No, not at this stage of my life. No. No, it's not you. It's me.
It's not you.
It's not you. It's me. So she leaves. Crystal Harris moves into the house. Now,
boom,
wedding bells are ringing. You think she's pleased? Us Weekly Magazine said she stopped by the mansion to wish the happy couple congratulations, but she described the meeting as awkward.
Yeah. How about that?
She admits to having mixed feelings about the proposal, but she's got her own boyfriend now. She's dating a guy named Jack Barakat from the band All Time Low. Familiar with All Time Low?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I knew one of you would be.
Beat always.
Well, he likes to stay current.
Yeah.
Apparently that relationship is hot and heavy.
It must be funny for her to show up, though, and she's 6 or 7 years older than the woman Hef is marrying now. She's got to be also awkward.
Yeah, it helps that she's happy, though, I think. I mean, that makes a big difference.
Yeah,
true.
Speaking of May-December relationships, Selena Gomez is sticking with her story that she's just friends with Justin Bieber. She says that she loves hanging out with him, but he's like her little brother, which explains why they were making out and he was grabbing her ass on his private yacht.
She does that with her little brother?
Yes, she is a freak.
Wow.
Incest is best, dude. Yeah.
I've never
heard doing my Pharrell impression of a set, I understand.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Yeah. Adam Levine of Maroon 5. You know, it's funny. We talk about Maroon 5 a lot because no one loves Maroon 5 more than Kevin here on our show. He is a huge Maroon 5 fan. In fact, he is always demanding that all of us give some love to Maroon 5. Remember when he was like,
let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Always saying that, Kevin is.
Not always saying that.
You are always saying it.
Grammys once.
He is currently in an ad for a charity called Everyman, which encourages young men to get tested for prostate and testicular cancer. In order to showcase this charity, he is pictured on a poster currently, completely nude, except that his goodies are covered up by a mystery woman's hand.
Don't sound sexy.
If that's the way you get tested for testicular cancer, then schedule me an appointment.
I didn't know that's how it worked.
Oh, nurse, I'm ready for my exam now. You can see the poster online if you're so inclined. And I know Kevin is because he loves Maroon 5. He wants us to give him love to Maroon 5.
Love them.
Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl apparently was overserved Wednesday night. Uh-oh. And sadly, she got behind the wheel of her car. TMZ.com is reporting she was hauled in on suspicion of driving under the influence and then released on $15,000 bail. That's kind of steep, considering the normal rate, cops say, is about $5,000.
So, I wonder why they made it so high.
Well, rumors are swirling that this could be due to her blood alcohol level.
Oh.
Apparently, the price goes up when the driver registers higher than a
0.15. Oh, my God.
Wow.
If the legal limit is 0.08.
So this is twice that.
That would be twice that.
Wow.
Beyond that, the price starts to go up for your bail, so we can only imagine, or speculate, I guess, what she actually blew that evening.
We can't imagine.
And I'm betting it was a bunch. And speaking of drunks, you don't know this actor, but it's a great story. His name is Gary Collins. Gary Collins was a very popular television actor in the 60s and 70s, I guess. He was sort of a journeyman character guy. Good-looking fellow, but never really broke into leading man status. But he would show up on shows like Fantasy Island and Love Boat and that kind of stuff. And he did a lot of work also as a host, a TV host.
He
hosted a daytime show called Hour Magazine and did a lot of hosting. Yeah. He's married to a Miss America. That's what he's most famous for, I guess. Anyway, this dude has done nothing. He's like 80, and he keeps getting DUI after DUI. DUI. He is just a hardcore drunk.
Now he's back in the news because apparently he was eating at a restaurant in Biloxi, Mississippi. First mistake, you're in Biloxi, Mississippi. Second of all, you're eating at a restaurant there. And he decided to do what turned out to be a felony dine and dash.
How's that a felony?
He had a $60 tab on the table at a place called Giuseppe's Restaurant. And he said, it's not worth it. This food was not worth that. And he walked out refusing to pay. Apparently, he had a few cocktails.
Right.
So the cops were called. It turns out, in Mississippi, if you dine and dash on a tab bigger than $25, it's a felony.
Dude, what kind of problems are they having there with people running out on their bills?
It's Mississippi.
I know, but...
So apparently he is now going to go to court for felony dining and dashing.
Give him the breathalyzer!
They should have.
If they send him to jail...
Below Jamie Presley levels.
If they send him to jail, people are going to ask him, what are you in for? And he's going to say, dining and dashing?
You better say murder.
He's got to make up something better.
I murdered a dinner that didn't pay for it. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Caruso from CSI Miami.
Yeah!
He's 95 years old.
Wow.
He looks good.
He looks good. That's old.
Sorry, 55 years old today. News anchor Katie Couric is 54. Our buddy Nicolas Cage, we just talked to this week about his new movie, Season of the Witch. He's 47 years old today. Actor Rex Lee from Entourage.
Hi!
He's 42.
So great.
Jeremy Renner from Hurt Locker. Soon to be seen as Hawkeye in the upcoming Avengers movie from Marvel Comics. He's 40 years old today. Dustin Diamond, your buddy. Kevin, remember when you guys had him in the show? Screech from Saved by the Bell.
We did have to throw him out.
I think he was only for the only interview I can think where you actually threw the guest out of the studio.
That Scientology guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But does he really count? He's no Screech.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Black Keys on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8 minutes after 6.
Hey, why the keys got to be black, by the way? Anyone ever asked that question? It's racism, man. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Big hour here for movie fans. We'll talk to Joel and Ethan, the Coen brothers, coming up at about a half an hour here on the Kevin Bean Show about their film True Grit. And coming up next in about 15 minutes, Rob's going to have the movie beat. Kevin, I know you're already going to the Tim McGraw movie, Country Strong. I know you've already got your tickets for this weekend. But Ralph is going to be reviewing that for the rest of us who haven't made up our mind yet, coming up in a few minutes. Plus the new Nick Cage movie, Season of the Witch. We'll see what he has to say about that on the way on the Kevin Bean Show.
Right now, it's time for a feature we like to call.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Citizen of the Day is really just a way for us to feel better about ourselves. We find really dumb people.
That's
and we
true.
Tell
yeah.
you a story, and then you go, "Wow, at least I'm not them."
Yeah.
So that's what this that's where this came from. Police are turning to the public for help finding a bank robber in Gilbert, Arizona. Apparently, the dude last robbed a bank Thursday, December 23rd, so a couple of days before Christmas. He's about 55. He's 5'10", and they have dubbed him the $60 bill bandit because he goes into banks and he tells them that he wants, quote, all the 20s, 40s, and $60 bills.
Yay! Oh, man, really?
55 years old. And by the way, this is the fourth or fifth bank that he's robbed and gotten away with.
Wow.
So he's that dumb.
But that good.
And yet,
but that good.
Keeps getting away.
It's not easy to rob a bank, by the way. Very few bank robbers get away with it, so I got to give this guy credit. But at what point is he going to realize they make a 50 but not a 60?
You think he's going to start yelling at them? There are no 60s in here.
They're going to want bigger bills.
Sir, I'm telling you the truth. They don't make them. So that dude is out there. So you got
That's
that.
That's awesome.
You got that working for you. And then a woman from Chicago's North Side called 911. I believe it was New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. And told them that her boyfriend was attacking her.
Oh,
and
no.
So they sent a police car over immediately. Here's the news report.
The call came into 911 around 8:30 in the evening from a woman identified by police as 40-year-old Anna Perez, who claimed her boyfriend was attacking her. But when officers arrived, Perez allegedly changed her story.
All right. So she changed her story. So the original was my boyfriend's abusing me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think she changed it to?
I can't imagine. Something that probably didn't require a call to 911.
Admitting that she had summoned police to her home to scare her boyfriend into marrying her.
That'll do it. That's going to make your boyfriend go, yes, she is the woman for me.
She called 911.
I would not have guessed that.
She told them that she was being beaten. The police show up ready for action. And then she says, will you tell him to marry me?
Oh, my God.
A captain with the Grand Central Police District says officers who raced to the scene believing someone was in danger were not amused by Perez's phony call for help. She was arrested at the scene and charged with disorderly conduct.
Now, what do you think the guy's comment was?
Well, it has to be that in no way in a million years would he ever marry that corn nut, right?
Yeah, I would hope so, too.
The boyfriend, according to police, had no intention of marrying Perez and was in the process of breaking up with her when she called 911.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. 911 doesn't do that.
That's not part of their job description.
They don't really come to your house and force your boyfriend to marry you.
Damn it.
And by the way, and a lot of people do this. The last ditch effort for our relationship is in the toilet. We've got to figure out a way to keep this thing together is let's get married. That's not the way to save a relationship that's on the rocks.
Yeah, it does seem like that's a step in the wrong direction.
Right.
And don't involve 911 and the police, because then that is even worse.
Yeah.
Well done.
So, yeah, nicely done. That is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Funny man Jay Moore on the program today. The Coen brothers in about 50 minutes. Now, Ralph, I wanted to ask you this, because you're Mr. Movie, and we got the movie beat standing by here.
Yes.
Coen brothers, that's Mr. Movie phone.
Yes.
Coen brothers, notoriously press shy.
Press one now.
Do not do a lot of interviews, right?
They do a ton of interviews, just very few television and radio interviews. They do a ton of press interviews.
Print. Okay. Yeah.
They seem to be very supportive of their films, but in this particular case, it is interesting that they're doing radio. I'm a little surprised.
Should we be nervous? Are the type of people who don't do interviews, like, you know, a guy like Sean Penn or something, because he just hates them? Is that what our fear should be?
By all accounts, the guys are very gregarious and funny and charming, but they may not be in the mood to talk to you two. That's for sure. Yeah.
Well, that could be true of anyone.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned a few minutes ago I was a little bit nervous because I'm, you know, as we all are, kind of in awe of their talent. But then I got this email that made me feel better from Kevin Bean listener Michael, who said, guys, after Kevin's masterful James Cameron interview, why would you ever worry about messing up the Coen brothers?
This is true.
Of course, you'll remember that classic moment.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
So we got that to
so rest on our laurels.
You guys did Brother, Where Art Thou, You?
Yeah,
you?
I'm not going to try that one.
Oh, you're not going to do
no.
that?
No. I've scratched that off the list.
All right. Coen Brothers coming up later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, it is Friday. That means Ralph steps in for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Just a couple movies in Cineplexes this weekend. You might want to check out the first one. Oh, joy. Finally, the movie that I've been waiting for. I've been, my whole life, I've been going to movies and saying, you know what I would really like to have is a cinematic combination of Gwyneth Paltrow and country music. If they could just put those two elements together in one film for me, I'll be a happy, happy man.
If there's one thing we know about Ralph, it's that he loves, loves, loves country music.
Here's the thing about country music. It blows.
How
of all genres of music, no genre is filled with more people with less talent than country. If you're just a hack reality show star, you can have a hit country song because those people will listen to anything.
I would
country
rank
music sucks.
If you had to rank the different styles, I would rank it last, I think. I don't hate it like Ralph does, but it just seems like it doesn't take much.
Oh, it's crap. And Gwyneth Paltrow plays a fallen country western singer in this movie. You know, she's got demons, Kevin.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
She has demons?
Oh, she's a drinker. She's got demons, and she's emotionally unstable, and her career has crashed and burned. But she may resurrect her career with the help of a young singer-songwriter.
Oh.
And her husband and manager, who still believes in her. And I think he's played by Tug McGraw, if I'm not mistaken. Legendary baseball player Tug McGraw, apparently.
No, no, this is his son, yeah. Tim, Dr.
Country
Phil
McGraw.
This movie is crap. But
now, are you being completely fair to it?
It has Leighton Meester in it.
Oh, yes.
Well, now.
So there is a redeeming quality to this film.
Smackety-waggedy-doo.
She plays a beauty queen turned singer because, once again, in country music, anybody can effing get into the country music game.
Ralph, I think you should test that theory by trying it yourself.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I really think you should.
I could absolutely get a top 10 hit in country.
You could sing well?
I absolutely could do it. I'm telling you.
And you don't even need to sing well, but you could.
Now, I love country music. This is Bean speaking.
Just another reason you're bad.
I have to ask you this, Ralph. Isn't it possible that there's a compelling story to be told here that happens to have the backdrop of country music? And I bring as an example your buddy Jeff Bridges, who won his Oscar last year for playing a country western singer in a movie.
Yeah, but
the movie didn't automatically suck because it was about country music.
Because Jeff Bridges trumps all. He can take the worst of ideas and make them triumphant. Gwyneth Paltrow does not have that quality about her.
Well, you're not a huge Gwyneth Paltrow fan either.
But here's the thing. The last time Gwyneth ventured into a singing role in a movie was the legendary film Bounce. No, not Bounce. What the hell was it?
Duets.
Duets.
Yeah. I don't even know
with
that.
With Huey Lewis as her co-star.
Duets.
It's just, he played her dad.
Can we just stop calling her a movie star, first of all, until she makes a hit? And second of all, this is about country music.
So it's good?
Here's a clip from the movie where Gwyneth Paltrow is talking to her husband manager, Tug McGraw, about Leighton Meester, who is a beauty queen who is trying to be a singer.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go out smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
No, that's DJ Omar Khan's college movie, Kevin.
The greatest performance Gwyneth Paltrow has ever given, now that I hear that clip.
Would you rather see Cucamonga Heat?
Several times in a row.
Yep.
DJ Omar Khan.
Go to YouTube and look up Cucamonga Heat. It's the worst movie ever made.
Rather than sit through Country Strong once,
all right, now
I'd rather watch Cucamonga Heat several times
now
back
I
to
have
back.
The Country Strong
It's
clip.
Called Country Strong, by the way.
I hear you.
F you, country. And your strength.
Do you think Charles Stanton is pretty?
No, come on.
I'm serious. I do. That's why I'm asking. I think she looks like a young Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, well, she's a talented kid.
James, I just got one of those Brazilian bikini waxes.
I just took an Ambien. I'll see you in 8 hours.
They got trouble in their relationship, man.
Oh, man.
What?
Oh, come on. Seriously. F this movie.
Wait, what?
Just F this movie.
So you're in.
Ugh. You know what I'm going to see instead?
Right.
Season of the Witch. Yeah! Nicolas Cage with a sword!
And battling that's better demons! Somehow.
This chick does look a little scary to me.
Oh, she's a witch.
Yes.
She's got the power of witchness in her.
I don't know what that power is.
It's
but
the 14th century. Nicolas Cage is a crusader returning from, well, the Crusades.
Sure.
To a homeland that's been devastated by the Black Plague. And so the church thinks that sorcery is the culprit to the plague. And so they take two knights and they say, you have to transport this witch to a remote abbey where she will be subjected to bizarre rituals which will end the pestilence that sweeps through our country. But Nicolas Cage sees something a little more in this girl. Sees something a little beyond the pale in what's going on with her. And takes up as her champion. Because it's the season of the witch! I don't know what any of this means, but I'm going. Because Nicolas Cage has got a big sword.
And it's not the other movie.
It's not Country Strong. I know that much for sure. Here's a scene where Nicolas Cage is getting his mission as a knight.
Yeah, Eric.
No,
hey, what's up, man? No. It's Mr. Khan, dude.
All right, sorry.
I am Damon of Blybrook. The plague is everywhere.
It is a curse called up from hell, brought upon us by the Black Witch.
The Black Witch. The witch must be taken to the Abbey of Severac, where the monks possess the last copy of an ancient book of rituals that will destroy the witch's powers and end the plague.
Yes.
If that's responsible for the plague, why don't the monks share? They have the only copy. Why don't they just dial them up and
well,
go, hey.
Well, turns out there were no Xerox machines in the 14th century, dude.
Fax machine.
No.
No?
No email, nothing.
Smoke just signals?
A bunch of guys with bald spots in their heads doing it with a feather. It takes a long time.
There is a plague in this country. It's called Country Strong, and the Black Witch, Gwyneth Paltrow, is responsible.
Now, those are our two choices?
Those are your movies for the weekend. You got Country Strong, you got Season of the Witch.
It sounds to me like you're saying go see True Grit is what it sounds to me like.
I'm saying butter up your popcorn and see anything else other than Country Strong, is what I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You want your own wife kidnapped. Her dad, he's real well off.
I'm working with you on this thing here, but okay. I'll do a damn luck count.
Sir, right now?
You're darn tootin'.
I'm sorry, sir.
Ah, what the Christ.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
I am a man of constant sorrow.
Please, I need help. I've already talked to the other rabbis. I've had quite a bit of tsuris. Marital problems, professional, you name it. This is a I've tried to be a serious man.
What's the most you ever lost on a coin toss?
I don't know. I couldn't say.
Call it.
Call it, yes. I didn't put nothing up.
Yes, you did. You've been putting it up your whole life. You just didn't know it, friendo.
It is always a major event at the movies when a new film comes out by the Coen brothers. True Grit is their latest. It is in theaters now, and it is a thrill to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time Joel and Ethan Coen on the phone. Yay. Hey, you guys, welcome.
Thank you. That was all weird. That was like having my life flash in front of my eyes.
Yeah, that's the Lifetime Achievement montage right there.
Wow.
We put those together. We got a man named Omar in the back room who puts those together, and we always feel a little bit bad because it's like you're watching your own funeral when you hear something like that. And I apologize for that. I hope it didn't make you feel bad.
Yeah, when you hear, I've already talked to the other rabbis.
Right, exactly. Well, True Grit has been out for a couple weeks now, but believe it or not, there are still some people who haven't seen it yet because, you know, when Yogi Bear's out, you got to see that first. Obviously, we all understand that. But let's talk about that movie for a second. You know, John Wayne, one of the biggest movie stars of the 20th century, has been gone a number of years now. And I guess most people who go to the movies now probably don't even remember the John Wayne movie. And very few of his films have been remade. But you chose to do this one. How come?
Well, you know, yeah, it's a funny thing. I don't think, especially younger audience, people younger than us, Joel and I are in our 50s, don't really connect, I don't think, to John Wayne anymore in the emotional way that people older than us did. We didn't even really think of it as a remake in any case. It was based on a novel that we were really enthusiastic about by a guy named Charles Portis, and we both read and admired the novel and thought there was room to make another movie from it. So that's kind of the rationale behind doing it, as opposed to, you know, there wasn't really any reference in our minds to the first movie.
You know, guys, the interesting thing about the novel is that the dialogue, the prose, is so sort of unique, and it's got its own structure and its own cadence and its own style, and you guys retain that completely. Is that one of the things you were shooting for?
Yeah, I mean, that's really true. It's a very particular and unique voice. It's a first-person narrative told through the voice of this 14-year-old girl. It's very funny. It's as you say, it's very specific, and it was one of the things that really attracted us to the novel, and we tried to get the flavor of as much as we could in the movie.
Also, one of the things that attracted the actors is the first thing that Jeff Bridges remarked on when he read the script, which he then went on to read the novel. But it's an interesting exercise for an actor.
Yeah, to make those words sound natural is a difficult task. And yet everyone in your film pulls it off. And can we speak a little bit about Hailee Steinfeld, who is the 14-year-old girl who plays Maddie Ross in the film? And she is a revelation. I'd never seen her before, but she's brilliant in this.
Yeah, well, there's this central character, a 14-year-old girl, and we thought, oh, we're going to have to look all over the country. It'll have to be a real person as opposed to a person from Los Angeles. It can't be a movie business person. Right. We assumed it would never be somebody from L.A. We looked at thousands of people from all over the country and ended up with Hailee, who's from Thousand Oaks.
I can't even imagine how tough it must be, and I don't know much about the audition process, guys, but I mean, you've got to make a decision based on meeting somebody for a few minutes, a few days in a row, maybe, that is really, I mean, especially in this movie, True Grit, she's the star, and you've got to really hang your hat on this person, and God forbid you pick the wrong one. I mean, that must just be the most, I mean, you know what you're getting when you hire Matt Damon and Jeff Bridges and Josh Brolin, but that must be so terrifying when you finally pull the trigger on who you're going to hire to be the girl.
That's true. It's a little hair-raising. But on the other hand, we did. One of the things you mentioned was the language in the book and the language of the movie. And it was quite obvious right from the start when we saw Hailee for the very first time that was one thing that she managed effortlessly, and she was completely unintimidated by the whole process of reading with Jeff Bridges. You know, we put her in the room with these big movie stars, said, let's do these scenes, and bang, she just took off and did it. So we were pretty confident at that point that we didn't have a lot to worry about.
Yeah, once we met Haley, we were fine. We weren't worried. Before we met Haley, it was worrisome. We did think, well, boy, can any... It's an interesting part for a 14-year-old, if there is a 14-year-old out there who can actually do it.
Right. This would be a great time for us to play the clip that we have. We have Joel and Ethan Coen, the Coen brothers, on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about True Grit in theaters now, and if you're wondering why we're all raving about this little actress, you'll see why in this scene right here from True Grit.
Can we depart this afternoon?
We? You are not going. That is no part of it.
You have misjudged me if you think I'm silly enough to give you $50 and watch you simply ride off.
I'm a bonded U.S. Marshal.
That weighs but little with me. I will see the thing done.
I've been the duck. Can't go after men, pamper, band of hard men, look after a baby at the same time.
I am not a baby.
Won't be stopping at boarding houses where there's warm beds and hot grub on the table.
You can smell Jeff Bridges in that clip.
You can smell Jeff Bridges. That should be the tagline for the movie.
Was there ever a time when you said, Jeff, we can't understand what you're saying. You're going to have to clear it up a little.
Yeah, yeah. There were those moments.
There were those scenes where Haley seemed demented because Jeff would say these guttural nothings and Haley would respond as if he was speaking English. Yeah. Jeff did back off the voice a bit. It's funny you picked that clip because that's Jeff at his most gravelly.
Right. Is Jeff Bridges a guy who you had such a great working relationship with back in the Lebowski movie? Is he a guy that you kind of kept in your back pocket? You thought, man, one day I hope we can write a role that he'll be right for again so we can work together again?
Yeah, actually, right. Yeah. We've been looking for something or thinking about things for the last like 15 years, and you know it's always you're always looking for that right combination of the part and the actor. But Jeff specifically, we wanted to work with again, and we'd actually talked to Jeff a couple of years ago, and he'd suggested a Western. He said, "Why don't we do a Western?" And we went, "Well, okay, maybe." And it was just in a way coincidental that we then a few years later reread the Portis book and started thinking about, well, you know, there you go.
Interesting. We had the opportunity to sit down with Jeff at Comic-Con this year, and he's like a Zen master. When you're in his presence, it's so calming. I don't know what it is about the dude, but he's the dude.
Yeah, it's true. The pulse and respiration never rise above the resting rate. Yeah,
yeah. The funniest part of that is that when we originally brought him Lebowski, he wasn't sure he wanted to do it. It was like, I don't know if I can play this guy.
And he is that guy.
He is that guy. Exactly.
He's more that guy than anyone on the planet,
and in any role he's ever played.
All right. Well, I know we're almost out of time. You guys have a busy day. True Grit, by the way. I mean, I know you don't make movies specifically with the bottom line in mind, but it must be awfully satisfying to do something that was so important to you and have it turn out to be such a big hit already. I mean, this has come out of the gate like a blockbuster, right?
It's great. Yeah, we're very gratified by it. It's nice. You make the movie, you want people to see it, and the more people that see it, the happier you are. And so this one has been a nice experience.
Well, I got to tell you guys, it's one of my favorite films of the year by far. The performances are amazing, and it's one of those movies that goes by in a blink, and you just don't want it to end at the end of it. I'll tell you, I really loved it.
No, that's nice. Thank you.
True Grit, in theaters now. The Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, thanks so much for coming on. Happy New Year, guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show from G4's Attack of the Show. Kevin Pereira joins us after the top of the hour to talk about all the new technology unveiled at CES. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph, what's up?
I've got passes to give away to the very special red hot world premiere of a movie that has been long anticipated. We were talking about this movie back at Comic-Con in July, for corn's sake. And I can't wait to see it. It is The Green Hornet, starring Seth Rogen and Jay Chou and Green Hornet and Kato. You get to see the red carpet world premiere if you're lucky caller number 5 right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Get through, be caller number 5, and you get a pair of passes to go to the red carpet world premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater on January 10th. 2011! Of course, the movie is in theaters everywhere later that Friday on the 14th. 2011! So call right now.
Wow, Kevin is finally hitting the 2011 on time. That's awesome.
He is finally sharpened up. I don't know what it is about him, but he has really got what's going on.
I had a cup of coffee.
Oh, that's good.
What did you do?
David Arquette is working on his demons currently in rehab, but it may have taken a severe injury to make him realize that he needed help. The New York Post is saying that the reason he checked himself into rehab for alcohol and depression issues is because he was on a major party bender. Apparently, he was trying to do the worm while dancing, but fell on his face and wound up with a bloody nose. You know, if you get a bloody nose, that's when you know it's time for rehab. That is one that's of the right. indicators when I hear to get yourself into a rehab.
Yep.
Friends say he's not doing well since separating from Courtney Cox, and he is really struggling, and has also been spending a lot of time at the strip joint here in Los Angeles called Crazy Girls.
Oh, yeah.
I can see he's having a hard time getting over his wife. He must be heartbroken. Sometimes the only way, really, to make yourself feel better is to surround yourself with strippers in the VIP sure. room.
Ralph, forgive my ignorance. How do you do the worm? How's that dance work?
The worm is like the gator. You remember Animal House? During
yes.
Shout, when they're
yes.
at the toga party? Mm-hmm. And they all drop to the floor and start wiggling around on the ground.
Right.
Yeah, that's the worm.
That's the worm.
It's known as the worm or the gator. There are several different names for it. But it's basically just being a drunken fool and rolling around on a beer-soaked floor.
Gotcha.
I remember many a frat party when I would go home stinking of Pabst Blue Ribbon because I had done the worm. And it was quite the adventure. Never had a bloody nose from it, though. I'll tell you that much. Remember the beautiful home that was featured in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
Yeah, that gorgeous house that had the big glass garage in the back That's with right. the Ferrari in it. Oh, it was a beautiful place. Well, it's on the market. If you want to pick it up, it's in Illinois, just outside of Chicago. And apparently, they're trying to move it, so it's got the budget-friendly price of $1.5 million if you want to pick it up. But if you'd like to live in the Ferris Bueller house, here's your opportunity.
They are cashing in, right, as Ferris Bueller is hotter than ever.
Never been hotter. Can't wait for the sequel. Suri Cruz is in the news. Here's the thing. I know people are proud of their kids. I get that. I have a daughter of my own I'm very proud of. But I also recognize that she's just a kid. And she's not special yet. I think she's got potential, but she's not special yet.
Okay.
Katie Holmes is telling Elle Magazine that her four-year-old has a great eye for fashion.
Really?
Yeah.
She kind of does.
Shut up.
Her mom dresses.
I mean, parents dress four-year-olds.
Yeah.
Four-year-olds don't go into some couture clothing shop and start making choices and putting together ensembles. Okay? She's four. She doesn't have a great eye for fashion. She's not a fashionista. She's a four-year-old.
She wears what they put on her.
Who wears expensive, nice clothing. Who looks... She's a beautiful kid. Looks great in clothes. But she is not... She has nothing... She has no concept of fashion.
All right.
She's four. Stop it. And while you're at it, give her some exercise and some vitamins, too. Detox her. See if she's clear. Jamie Presley's in trouble. She was popped in Santa Monica, California last Wednesday night. Apparently, she was pulled over on the suspicion of driving under the influence. And when all was said and done, she was released on a $15,000 bail, which is very steep, considering the normal rate is $5,000. Well, that just fed the rumor mill. And now people are speculating that her blood alcohol level must have been quite high because the price for bail for such an offense goes up when the driver registers higher than a .15.
Wow.
Keep in mind the legal limit is .08. So we're talking about at least double that, if not more, due to the stiffness of her bail. So we don't know what she blew, but that makes me feel bad.
I know there's so much going on in that sentence.
I'm just saying. When Jamie Presley is blowing
right
numbers like that,
right,
you feel bad for the lady because she's a funny and talented person, and I like
usually
her.
If you're more than twice the legal limit drunk, you get a nosebleed. That's what I hear.
That's what I heard too. Yeah, can't stop your nose from bleeding. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? David Caruso, he's 55 years old today. He's of course on CSI Miami, but famously became a star on NYPD Blue, mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't know he was only on that show for one season. He quit after the first season. That show went on for 12 years. So,
and he probably didn't work for the last 11 years.
There was some hard times for David. Katie Couric, news anchor for CBS, is 54 years old today. Actor Nicolas Cage is 47. Rex Lee, who plays Lloyd on Entourage, he is 42. Jeremy Renner turns 40 years old today. And actor Dustin Diamond, famously known as Screech from Saved by the Bell, and of course from his homemade sex porn movie that he released at Saved by the Smell. You can also pick that up. He's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Congratulations to Brandon Shear of Tustin. Just got that trip for two to Vail, Colorado from the world-famous K-Rock.
Yeah.
It is 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Funny man Jay Moore with us for the whole hour, coming up an hour from right now. First, though, let's take you live to Las Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Show 2011.
2011!
Kevin Pereira, of course, from Attack of the Show. Oop, that's the wrong button. From Attack of the Show on G4, which I used to love so much, Kevin. But now, as a DirecTV subscriber, I just sit in front of a blank screen for 1 hour every night at 7.
I actually think the show got more entertaining that way, to be honest.
Well, you could be right about that. But I know we have a lot of ground to cover for CES. But what the F, man? When is that thing going to get resolved and I can get the show back?
I wish I was allowed to say two words about it, but all I can say is we hear you. That's all I can say. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, you guys...
You
put on a fantastic show. Are you broadcasting from CES? Are you actually doing the show live from there?
We did, actually. Yesterday we did a two-hour live show, and then we have some other packages that are going to roll in next week. We have a big relaunch for Attack of the Show on the 11th, and so we're gonna roll out a whole bunch of cool gadget packages.
Now, the Consumer Electronics Show has been going on for forever and ever and ever. It is the biggest week of the year for tech geeks. Kevin, you won't even go anymore because it's just gotten too big, right?
Yeah, well, I used to go every year because you get to see all the new electronics and stuff like that, but the convention center is... There are 2 billion people there, and there's the cab line is 5,000 people long. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but AEE goes on at the same time, the Adult Entertainment Expo. So you get to play porn star or PR, which is the
Kevin
best game
knows
ever.
That.
Oh yeah, trust me, that was the alternative.
Every year, there's one product or at least one line of products that people seem to really be focusing on. I think last year, for instance, we saw a lot of 3D TVs. Right. What's the big ticket item that people are excited about this year, Kevin?
You know, unfortunately, this year it's sort of copy and paste. It's the exact same bullet points from last year, but people are pretending that they're actually going to be real. So 3D TV without glasses, wireless streaming of all your media, cloud streaming, which is the storage of all your media in the internet and streaming to all your portable devices. It's the same old song and dance, although this year people are pretending as if it's going to be a reality.
Is it?
Yeah, the exact same reality. Although I will say there was...
No, but I'm saying, is it going to be a reality?
It depends on who you ask. I 3D clearly could be in your living room if you wanted it. I just don't think consumers actually want it today in its current form.
Well, I kind of agree. I mean, I'm not as big a 3D fan as a lot of people are. I know there are people who love it. But, I mean, honestly... HDTV looks fine to me. It's not like I'm sitting there going, this really sucks. I wish they'd invent something that looked better. I like HDTV and I like watching it.
Yeah, an ounce of medicinal marijuana and a 100-inch screen goes a long way. But in the living room where you have to have your friends over and say, hold on, let me charge your headset, Doug. Oh, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. Great, you get to go cross-eyed for an hour while we all watch this UFC match.
You think that's a bad thing?
I'm not exactly buying it. Although Toshiba was showing off a cool television and a laptop that uses glassless 3D technology. And on the laptop side of thing, it tracks your eyes, which was a very weird Minority Report thing.
What?
Yeah, I felt very molested. The webcam actually tracks your left and right eye and then adjusts the display to give you a 3D effect without glasses. Very weird, but it actually worked.
Why has this been so hard to crack? I mean, they've had 3D forever.
For 70 years or something, right?
But they've made no progress on the glasses.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I've chatted with Adam Carolla. It's basically 3D and toaster technology have remained the exact same for the last 60 years, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
Anything that gets big, whether it's CES or Comic-Con, obviously, you know, Hollywood and the music industry get involved and the celebrities start showing up and they got to get their piece of the pie. Yesterday,
certainly.
I guess 50 Cent was down there. Lady Gaga was down there. What were they all talking about?
Lady Gaga was here last year as well. She has a deal with Polaroid to be the face or the penis of some some portable camera. So she's out here. And, of course, you can't be a rapper or an artist these days without your own earbuds. So Diddy was down here. There was rumors that Ludacris was down here for his headset. I'm still rocking the plastic Apple earbuds. So that's a...
Old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still using the earbuds that come with the iPod, right?
That's what you've got. Oh, yeah. The giant plastic wedges that you just jam into your ear. Right. You don't get
this. These Lady Gaga Polaroid glasses, I guess they're sunglasses that you wear. And you take a picture with your sunglasses, and then you download it later. I think that was the deal on that.
What?
Right?
Like spy sunglasses?
Wow, cool. I guess.
You know, it's a bit of a tangent, but there's a company called Npower that has a device called the Peg, and I know you're all huge fans of pegging.
Sure.
Which sounds silly enough as is. Don't Urban Dictionary it. But it's essentially a kinetic power charger for your iPhone, iPod, or any other iDevice, which basically means you furiously masturbate with this plastic shake weight looking device, and it provides power to to your devices.
How much work do I want to have my iPod go?
It gives you an excuse to flex the muscles, but it only works like in an up and down configuration, so you can't do the European grip.
Wow, how about that?
Very frustrating.
This is the voice of Kevin Pereira on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's in Las Vegas. We're talking about CES 11 going on now, which, by the way, I know every year people are tempted to drive out there to go in, but you can't. You can't just show up. You got to be invited and get it approved in advance and whatnot.
Yeah, or you have to set up like a LiveJournal emo blog about technology and then say
exactly
that you're press, because don't worry, it's not that hard to get in, but you do have to do it in advance.
Right. Now, one more question for you, Kevin. I hear a lot about tablets coming out of the CES. I'm one of the guys who couldn't feel, justify buying an iPad, although I hear that they're cool. But apparently the iPad really shook things up, and there are lots of companies that are kind of coming out with their own version of things that size that do lots of things, right?
Yeah, the iPad really created a new market segment, and now everybody's hopping in on it. And one of the common gripes is, oh, there's no HDMI out to get your videos off the device, even though there's AirPlay, which does it wirelessly. Or there's no USB, or you can't use a stylus to draw and take notes by hand. Well, Asus answered that. They have a whole slew of tablets, and one of them is the eSlate. It has a very sexy name, the EP-121.
Oh, yeah.
Say it slower.
I don't mean to do that to you guys.
That's all right.
But it does have built-in...
sorry, EP-121.
Yeah.
Power device. Wacom stylus built in. It does have a Wacom stylus built in, so you can touch the device all you want and get your Frito grease all over it, and then you flip over to the stylus and you can take notes by hand, tap it, and it actually works.
That's cool.
I have no interest in that. I have zero interest in that. I don't need to
take notes.
Until you see it. Until you see it. Then you go, that's so cool. I got you. Attack of the Show with a relaunch next Tuesday at 7 on G4. And the two-hour special that you did from CES 11, is that going to re-air sometime this weekend, Kevin?
Oh, I'm certain. I'm certain. It's probably on right now.
Okay, right. Fantastic. Hey, great to have you on, man. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks
you
for joining us
on
the Kevin and Bean.
You bet.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Comedian Jay Moore joins us next there on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph will be here with the Showbiz Beat and more tickets for the World Carpet World Premiere of The Green Hornet.
I like when
a lot
you
of
work
words
it out
put
like
in
that.
The right order. Yeah. Exactly. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Second Mike, did you warn your ex-wife that this might be a difficult topic for her to listen to? She's not near the radio, is she?
No, probably not. Point. Not awake.
Okay. We're going to tell you about a woman who has written a book that sounds fascinating called Can't Think Straight, A Memoir of Mixed Up Love. And she is one of the unlucky ladies who found out, thank God, before they got married, but while they were engaged in planning a wedding, that in fact, her fiancé was gay.
Yay!
By the way, they were in a 10-year relationship.
Mm.
How about that?
And so that's part of what played with her head when he finally, one night, he said, I have something to tell you. And sit down on the couch, and she said, okay. And he said, I think I'm confused about my sexuality. And she laughed, thinking that he was trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And then he started crying, and then she went, oops, now what?
Look, this is a horrible thing to go through, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but it is the type of thing that you have to go, if you're the person in the relationship or just a person hearing the story, you have to go, how do you not know? Isn't that fairly fundamental in an opposite sex relationship that you would know if the other person was in fact attracted to the same sex instead?
She went on a search. She's talked to a bunch of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
She had some friends that were gay that she asked, and none of them
picked up on it.
None of them picked up on it. Yeah. None of them got the idea that he might be.
I think it also depends on who, where you live and who you're exposed to as to how much of a gaydar you've developed. Because this happened to me really early on when I was like in my early 20s.
Right.
And I didn't really have a gaydar then.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you miss it? Well, I just didn't know what to look for at the time. Maybe you grew up in the Midwest. Because I imagine it happens a lot in areas where it's just not okay to be gay.
Probably, yeah,
so
because
people
that keeps
aren't
people
okay coming out, right?
That keeps people hidden longer,
right? Exactly.
So I mean, some of her friends were saying, "Look, he's too old. He's in his mid-30s.
He
maybe he just doesn't want to be married. He, you know, it doesn't sound to them like they said. They actually said he's too old to come out." There's a certain point where you just go, well, forget it, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, if he's, you're right.
That
he's 36. He's 36 and living in New York City, a place where it is okay to be out.
Yeah.
You would think that he would have come out before that point if he was going to. That's for sure. We're going to take your calls, by the way. If you have had a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a fiancé or a husband or a wife who you found out after a time was gay and it was a shock to you, because that is an amazing thing to go through.
Here's something else that's weird. Just a few weeks before he came out to her, mm-hmm. he started pushing for a wedding date.
He didn't want he didn't want to be gay. That's the
thing.
That's
probably what it is. I mean, he was really like, look, didn't. We've been talking about getting married for a long time. We need to set a date. And she was okay. Like, yeah. He was the aggressor at that point. Just she didn't care. They'd been together for 10 years. She didn't care when they got married. But all of a sudden, he started pushing for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later he came out. But that seems like it would really mess with your head in a...
Absolutely.
How did I not see the signs?
It would shake your confidence completely in your judgment, I
and
think.
It did, too. Again, we're talking about this this new book that is out now called Can't Think Straight, A Memoir of Mixed Up Love. And it's written by a lady named Curie Blakely. And she said that after that, when she started feeling well enough to start dating again, that she wouldn't even be interested in a guy unless he was either a player, a bad boy, or all over her on the first date. Because he wanted to make sure that this guy was heterosexual that she was going out with the next time.
Yeah, those are good guys to have.
Yeah. No. She knew that that wasn't ideal. At any other circumstances, she wouldn't have been interested in a guy like that. Right. But after what she had been through, she said, please, just somebody who wants to have sex with a woman.
You have to whore it up. No, but she also says that she would ask guys after that. She would ask them point blank, have you ever had sex with a man?
Yeah.
Or are you interested? And those are weird questions, I imagine, if you're dating a girl, to get from the girl.
Sure.
But I can see why she would ask.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you've been through this. And this is really fascinating, too, by the way, because she said the next day after she woke up, you know, after the revelation, after he came out to her, he went off to work and she said, how did I miss this? And she knew his password for the Internet. So she logged on and she saw nothing but gay porn in his email.
Yeah.
He'd been sending naked pictures of himself to men. He had been putting Craigslist ads up.
Oh, wow.
Men looking for men. And had been going out on dates and had been having sex with men while they were still together. It wasn't just like he was confused and realized he had to go out and find his own way. He was already having the gay sex and being gay,
just hadn't
bothered to share that with his female fiance yet.
Well, that would, I think that would shock me a bit. Yeah, you'd go, wow, not only is he gay and now he's telling me this, but he's been living that way. And I didn't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then he got the co-hosting job on Loveline, and that was the last straw for her. And then she said, this guy, no way.
Plus, his nickname is Psycho, so there's there's a lot of trouble there.
So that's the story. And if you're still in pain, if you're still crying, maybe not the time to pick up the phone and give us a call, because we're not trying to add to your discomfort on this.
We don't handle emotions well. So
no.
We
if
might
you're still
laugh.
Sensitive.
Right.
We want it to be fun for everybody.
Right.
That's what we're saying. So if you've been through this, again, we're looking for your husband or your wife,
or you were gay, right?
Sure, you can be the person too. Yeah,
right.
Girlfriend, boyfriend, fiance, husband, wife. Somebody ended up being gay, and that ended up ending the relationship. That's what we want to hear about. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Taking your calls on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. A fascinating new book out we were just discussing called Can't Think Straight, A Memoir of Mixed Up Love. It's a story written by a young lady named Curie Blakely. Together with her fiancé, they had a relationship for 10 years, planning a wedding together, and then he sat her down on the couch and said, oh, one thing I forgot to mention, I'm gay. And that's, we were talking about this in the office yesterday, and we're going to get right to your calls. Does that make it easier in one way to have the relationship break up because it's not you? There's nothing you could do about that?
Having not gone through this situation, I would think you would go, well, then it wasn't me.
I think the room was split. The men said yes, and the women said no.
That it wouldn't make it.
The men said it would make it easier.
Yeah,
and the women said no, because now my judgment is seriously flawed.
Oh, I see.
Well, I can see
it. But
men
didn't feel that way.
I can see that it would make you question your own judgment. But it just seems like, would it be easier than if she was cheating on you with another guy, if she was sleeping with a girl, or the other way around?
I don't know.
I hope she's cheating on me with a girl. That's so hot. All right, let's get right to your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Sarah. Sarah's on line one, has a tale of being married to a man for 5 years. Sarah, thanks for calling in. What happened at that magic 5-year mark?
Well, basically, we were married for 5 years. We had a pretty good relationship. Things were going good, I thought.
Yeah.
And one night I decided to go out with the girls, and when I came home a little earlier than expected, he was in bed with another guy in lingerie and a wig.
All right.
Wow.
So that's how you found, he didn't sit you down like the story we were describing. You actually walked in on him in bed with another man in your home.
Walked in on him in my home with another man.
Was he wearing your lingerie, or did he have his own?
He had his own.
Oh, nice.
Sarah, God. What happened? What, I mean...
Did you turn around and walk out? Did you just, like, what'd you do?
I left the room at first, and then I came back just absolutely furious. Kicked them both out, obviously, but, I mean, it's pretty devastating being married to somebody for 5 years, and...
Now, did like you heard, I assume you were listening a few minutes ago when we were talking about the woman who wrote the book. Did you then kind of question your gaydar and your judgment and wonder how you possibly could have missed it? Like, are you still wondering that today?
Absolutely. I mean, 5 years, how could I not have known? I have no clue. I mean, it just, it was something out of a nightmare, pretty much.
Afterwards, after that happened, now that you think back through those 5 years, were there things that you missed that you said, oh, well, that should have tipped me off, but I just wasn't thinking about it, or no?
I mean, he liked going dancing a lot, which I didn't really, but I always went with him. I don't know. I guess it was things here and there, you know. He didn't like typical male things. I guess he wasn't into sports or anything.
Oh, because I was getting, that was my next question. He must have gone to a lot of soccer, though, right?
That's all right. Dean making fun of me because I love soccer.
Last question, Sarah. And we appreciate you calling on this. How was the sex life between you guys? If he was acting, okay, really. I got you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much for calling. I hope it works out better for you with the next guy, all right?
Thank you for the call.
You know, beyond your own judgment, trusting that, it would also be just trusting someone to know that someone could lie to you so completely for so long.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I imagine.
Whatever it was they were lying about, if it was a gambling habit and you found out that they had been keeping it from you for years, you're right. It'd be the same kind of betrayal.
But don't you hope that now is a better time so that you don't have to feel so afraid to tell people? I mean, I think back in the day...
Yes.
You had to keep it a secret. You had to.
Now it is way better to come out and hurt the person at the beginning when you know you're gay.
But I'm saying it's more acceptable now than it used to be. You didn't used to have that option. You used to have to try and act like you weren't gay.
But I honestly think some people just don't want to be gay.
Well, that's possible too, yeah.
Let's talk to Terry. This is flipping the script a little bit. Terry, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. How are you?
Hi, guys. Haley's May.
Hi.
All right, so you are, in this case, you're gay. You had a boyfriend who went straight on you, right?
You got it.
How? Tell me about that.
It's crazy. Okay.
That doesn't happen very often.
What?
Really. Yeah, what?
What? Right.
So what happened was, so we were together for like a year, and we always were hanging out, you know, with, you know, some of my, you know, kind of what we would call faghag friends.
Right.
And, one of them, and he seemed to get along really well. And I was cool with it. I'm like, you know, I was traveling a lot to work and I really didn't care. And, you know, they got along fine. And, actually she was the one that kind of hooked me up with him. That's another story.
Wow.
Anyway, so, So anyway, about, you know, 10 months into it, I realized that a couple things were going wrong. I.e., like he really didn't seem to be who he was.
Right.
So there was kind of like this secret life that was being had.
Right.
He was having. So I was like, okay, maybe you're really not who you say you are.
This isn't good.
So, but had he been, let me just interrupt you 1 second there. Sir.
Yeah.
Had he been gay, I mean, for years and years and years, he'd been out and dated other guys and stuff like that?
Without being blunt, I can tell you he did everything great.
Okay.
In that respect.
And you weren't his first boyfriend.
Like, there was no clue in the sack.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I met him in a gay club. So all of a sudden,
let me ask you this question. Have you checked up on him since?
Yeah.
Or was it just an escape plan? No, because, because.
No, because he ended up marrying my friend.
Really?
And, I mean, turned out to be a total sociopath.
Oh, no.
So he ended up marrying a woman.
He ended up marrying my best friend.
And they're still married.
And no, they got divorced. He like went bonkers. We hired a private detective, followed his ass, everything.
All right, that's a whole nother story.
Your life needs to be a movie.
So but Lisa, what you were talking about totally screwed my judgment for 5 years. I mean, when I met anybody, I'm like, I eventually got them to flip out their wallet so I could see who they were.
I like it. Show me some ID.
Totally get that.
My current boyfriend, I made him actually show me both his passports. I'm like, let me see him.
That's fantastic. It has to be extremely rare for longtime gay people to then wake up and decide they're straight, because they probably at one point thought they were straight and then decided, hey, I'm really gay, I'm going to come out, right? It doesn't go the other way very often.
No, exactly. I think the whole overriding thing here was he was a sociopath.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But you were talking about the girl whose husband, you know, she's with, you know, husband, whatever, boyfriend for 10 years. I think what happened happens is, like what Lisa's saying is, you know, they're obviously in a place where it's probably not okay to be gay, because you always know you are, but, you know, with other people, you know, you're either got some overriding characteristic in your personality that's going to, you know, do this.
Right, right.
So that's
fascinating story, but, Terry.
Let me ask
so much
one last question. I know we're running out of time, but what do you think it was easier on you that he went with a woman than it would have been if he went with another man?
Oh, completely, completely, because we laugh about it now. Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's great. I laugh about it all the time. I'm like, holy crap, what was I thinking?
Hey, you got a great story to tell the parties now, right?
That was some stinking thinking. Yeah.
Thank you, Terry. Stay up. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:55.
Woo! Last night was the season 4 premiere of Jersey Shore on MTV. LaQuisha joins us later for a review, and comedian Jay Mores joins us after the top of the hour. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Whoa, time. Back
was
up.
Was that your impression?
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say anything. I haven't said a word all day. I've just been sitting here silently on my hands like
that.
I do.
I'm going to mark that tape when he comes there. Like a mic. We need a Bean.
Time for
Tracy
Ralph
Morgan
Garman
impression.
And his BS, whatever it is he does.
I was being trying to be,
you know,
Tracy
not
Morgan.
You know what it's not? That impression. That's what I promise will not happen in the next couple of minutes.
Wow. How would you like to go see the red carpet world premiere of Green Hornet?
No.
Sure.
Well, good. You're not eligible to win. But someone else can. If you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you call now and you're caller number 5, you get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere. Maybe a green carpet. I'm guessing green carpet world premiere.
Good thinking.
Because of Green Hornet. The movie looks terrific.
Yellow? What if it's yellow and he's...
Why would it be yellow?
Because then he'd lose all his powers.
That's Green Lantern once again. You're confusing the green superheroes.
Sorry.
It's Seth Rogen, Jay Chou, Cameron Diaz, Christoph Waltz is the bad guy. He plays a good bad guy.
He does.
It's all happening on January the 10th.
2011.
At the Grauman's Chinese Theater. Hey. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday the 14th.
2011.
But if you're caller 5, you'll be able to get a pair of passes to see it before anybody else, which is...
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Taco Bell's not involved. I think Carl's Jr., however, is.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen the commercials. If you're Steve Martin...
All right, I'm Steve Martin. Continue.
And you are an accomplished comedian, actor, and author, but you're also a banjo player.
Right.
You get to make your own album.
Grammy Award-winning banjo player, by the way,
which is pretty cool.
But then does no one listen to it because it's banjo?
He's got a second collection of all original bluegrass tunes that he's putting together. And if you're Steve Martin, that means you get your friends to come out and help out. So apparently on one of the tracks, he does a duet with a gentleman named Sir Paul McCartney. How about that?
Well, okay.
Paul McCartney sings lead on a track on the new album called Best Love. The Dixie Chicks are also on the album. And apparently Steve is going to hit the road in concert to support it with his band, the Steep Canyon Rangers.
This is a banjo band?
It's a bluegrass band with him playing lead banjo. What do they have, like rhythm banjo and bass banjo? What if they have all the banjo parts available?
When's this album coming out? That sounds great.
CD will be out on March the 15th. You can check it out. So in a couple months. He just had one out, too. So
he did.
He's a busy, busy feller.
I have a clip of the band if you'd like to hear.
Oh, I'd love to hear some of the song.
Doesn't sound like
bluegrass. Is that Paul McCartney singing lead?
That's
there?
Paul, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Britney Spears has a new single. It'll be out on Tuesday. It was supposed to be out last Tuesday, but you know how Britney is.
Sure.
She couldn't get around to it. She had Cheetos to eat.
She had food.
She had her children to hose down.
She's been looking better, though, and she seems more in control,
right? She has been bouncing back considerably.
Seems like.
The track is called Hold It Against Me. Oh, giggity! And the new album is out in March also. No title yet on the new album, but I'm sure you'll hear more about it as it gets closer.
I have a clip of the song if you want to hear it.
No, I don't want to hear it.
All right.
And Bjork is in the news.
What's Bjork up to?
She is staging a protest.
Against bad singing?
I wish. No, it's against a Canadian company that's taking over Iceland's biggest provider of energy. She's upset about that. And the government still has to approve the deal, so Bjork is hoping to screw up the deal by holding a 3-day protest. It's going to be a karaoke marathon.
Oh, no.
A 3-day karaoke marathon that she is holding in protest for this business deal. I am guessing it will work, because she'll start singing,
And they say, we will do anything you want if you will stop singing. We will.
With our singers, we make millions.
Right there, you're giving in? Whatever. Right, you can have whatever you want. Falling, how many times are we playing that?
I didn't know anyone else was playing it.
We're both playing at the same time.
Yeah.
That's not even worse than usual.
not much, though.
Yeah, they'd be like, look, whatever you want. You can run the energy department. Whatever it takes, just stop your horrible singing, you freakish little gnome from hell. Psychopathic, lunatic, horrible, horrible singer.
You're a fan. Say.
He loves her.
I do love Bjork.
She's hideous.
I don't love every song she does. Yeah, there are some that she does that are
a
little trying.
The ones that she sings? The ones that she sings are horrible.
Also has a bunch of other songs that are just great.
Mm-mm. That's not true.
Is it exhausting to be as wrong as much as you are? I just wonder. Do you just?
Wouldn't know.
Do you just? Do you have to take a nap? You don't know how. You're true. You don't know how wrong you are. That's the problem.
Sweet bliss.
Sweet bliss. Exactly. Ignorance is bliss. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Caruso is 55 years old today. Katie Couric of the CBS News turns 54. Nicolas Cage, our buddy Nick Cage,
more of a birthday protector.
He's 47 years old today. Rex Lee, Lloyd from Entourage, is 42. Jeremy Renner, what a talented actor he is, 40 years old today. Dustin Diamond, Screech,
not great.
Saved by the Bell, turns 34 years old today. What's it like to be 34 and have nothing to look forward to in your life?
I don't know.
Everything you've ever accomplished, you finished by the age of 18. And the rest is just a cesspool of deception and lies.
But I'd like to point out that there are people in that situation, like Gary Coleman, who managed to pull it together and everything goes great for them the rest of their life.
That's a good point. That's a good example.
Look at Gary now. Oh, wait a minute. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. Hey, thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. LaQuisha reviews The Jersey Shore and the Coen Brothers next hour, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about their True Grit. It's Jay Moore. It's
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jay Moore.
Jay Moore's here.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Jay Moore.
No, you got it wrong, dude.
Comedian Jay Moore, funny man Jay Moore. No, what? He's always been Jay
Moore. He's so square, Beaner.
He's square. I want to play the clip. I'm sure. Did you hear it in the other room when he did his impression?
No.
He did an impression.
Of me?
Of Tracy Morgan saying your name.
Okay.
Is it actually an impression of Jay Moore doing Tracy Morgan saying his name?
Here it is.
I bet you do. And comedian Jay Moores joins us after the top of the hour. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Whoa, time. Back
was
up.
Was that your impression?
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say anything. I haven't said a word all day.
Yeah.
So you just sounded like a basketball announcer, and I just had a dunk. Like, Jay Moores! Baseline, Jay Moores!
Because you do that Tracy Morgan bit, it is now impossible for any of us to think of you as anything other than Jay Moores. You've been ruined. You can't be Jay Moore anymore.
Well, Jay Moore is my uncle. Yeah, I got my kidney transplant. But I got a good kidney from Akeem Olajuwon because he's my biological father.
By the way, Jay Moore is here because he is doing 1 million dates up and down the state of California, including the Ontario Improv. That's this weekend starting tonight. Also, the Irvine Improv next week, the Hollywood Improv, and you're going to be at the San Jose Improv starting on January 21st.
Somebody's got some bills to pay.
Baby steps, gentlemen. Ontario tonight.
Okay, Ontario tonight.
And tomorrow and Sunday. And then next Thursday, I believe, is Irvine.
That's correct.
And last time you guys let me in, I got to say, that place sold out so quick. You guys are the best on there in the OC.
Yeah, it's us.
And then it is you. I'm not kidding.
You come in, you're funny, people want to see you. That's how it works.
Yeah, but you guys could very easily go, you know, we got Seth Rogen on the phone, kick rocks.
That's true.
But you don't have Seth Rogen today.
We don't have.
He's coming in on Wednesday. He'll be in the studio on Wednesday.
Is he really?
Yeah.
You know what my wife did to me last
night?
Don't
make us choose.
That I wanted to share with you guys.
What?
Last night I was brushing my teeth and apparently I had a zit on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And she asked me if she could get it.
No.
And I realized, I think this is like an epidemic. Women love popping zits on their man's back.
Oh, wow.
Don't you?
Why?
Lisa?
Why?
Look at her.
It's
like a black guy admitting OJ did it. She's afraid to. She's got a look on her face. The same when you say to a black guy, did OJ do it? He smiles and goes, ah, come on, man. Like we've gone from not guilty to, come on, man. Man, you know, I wasn't there, man. I wasn't there. Don't you love...
My ex-husband didn't have zits, but sometimes he had blackheads, and I love to, like, go over his back.
How do you love that?
I don't know. I love it. They
why?
Go,
hey, how?
I don't
know. Clean him up.
But you know what they do is they'll go, oh, my God, you have a zit on your back, but it's not ready. And then they keep an eye on it for like 2 days, and they go, and then you'll be brushing your teeth, and then your wife will come in and go, oh, my God, it's ready.
Is it an attack then? Come on
And you're just
now.
Standing there brushing your teeth going, ah! And they just pinch, and they and you're like, my shoes are filling with blood. Help! And she's like, don't be a wuss. She's got you in a rear naked choke. She's got you in a kimura. She's... And you're like, oh, my God, that hurts. And then she's like, wait, there's one in your earlobe. Here. Like any little flaw, she squeezes it out.
She's making it up, right? She's making it up now. There's one on your leg. There's nothing there.
And then they're never on your leg. It's always right. Like from the nipples up. And then she'll go, then she'll have one, like by coincidence, someplace, like on, I don't know, on her neck. I don't know. Just any place.
Like she has any, let's be honest.
No, I mean, but if your wife has one, you'll go, oh my God, you have a zit on your back and it's ready. And she'll go, no, 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 no. Popping zits is really bad for your skin. And you go, oh, really? Is that why my back looks like Brian Adams' face? Because you come at me every night with a ball peen hammer and a soldering iron? Hey-o! Ontario Improv. Bits, bits, bits.
What is that about, Lisa? Why would you want to do something like that? I mean, isn't a blackhead just going to go away on its own at some point?
No,
you don't have to mess.
Go away on your back. But you never scrub your back.
Care of it. What's happening on this?
I don't know. There's something really satisfying about it. Plus, you clean them up.
Yeah, so that's it. It's like you can't. It's kind of gross.
So you fix him. You're fixing him.
And then when you run your hand down his back, you don't feel anything weird.
He's a reprobate, and you're making him an erudite man.
You know, we have to fix
everything. Sounded like Colin Quinn. He's a reprobate. I'm like a psycho Mike in the corner over there trying to figure out what am I going to mix in my Myoplex this morning.
That is a good Colin Quinn.
Well, what are you going to do, Bean? I'm number one on Broadway.
It's like a bubble wrap. You can't stop but pop it, right? You got to pop it.
Wow, let's change topics.
All right. All right.
I'm comfortable with this.
Jay, how long you been married this time, by the way?
I've been an old my man. I've been married 4 years.
Really?
December
is it that long?
29th.
Wow. Still going great?
The best.
Really?
My
love
bestest
it.
Friend.
For you.
Like we lay
would
in
she say that?
She's miserable.
What would she say?
Well,
she goes,
hit
I can't believe I'm with this this hat.
They've hit the patch where they're popping each other's zits. So
it's going pretty well.
So I go, Mike, you look like the kid that didn't get enough sleep on the school bus over there. You all right, man?
You look like special needs over here.
Jeez Louise.
I was focusing.
Focusing on what?
On what?
Kevin's hands?
I didn't realize you had such nice hands.
Is it everything you thought it would be? I mean, is every day a sunrise?
Every day I write the book, chapter one. No, I never. It's more than I ever. You can't conceptualize utter and total happiness. You can't.
Is that bad for a comedian at all, or is that just a BS thing?
No, it's great for me.
Ruin all the bits.
No, it gave me a whole new show because there are no bits. There is no act. It's just stories, and it's all comes from a place of. Being rooted, happy, and there's no angst.
But comedians are supposed to be unhappy people. That's what works. That's what drives you.
I don't know many unhappy comedians. All the comics I know are super, like Bert Kreischer, like Russell. You think Russell Brand's unhappy? The guy's like one.
No,
you think,
I don't think he's unhappy.
I think he's hilarious.
But isn't
he is.
The angry comedian? Isn't that true? It's pretty typical.
It was true for me because I didn't like me.
Yeah.
And subsequently my behavior was foul, and then I settled into a nice. Thing where going up on stage and telling the truth. It was very easy of me to do my old act because there was very little of me in it. It was all
interesting.
It was all like, what are we doing after this? Wink, wink, wink. As Kevin loves to go, I went into your dressing room once, man. It was just drugs and booze.
It wasn't, but it was a wall of
prostitutes and young Asian boys. It was a madhouse in there.
I bounced off of the wall of weed, though. It was. I mean, it was hard to get in the room.
The whole act was just like, what are we doing after that? Like, it was all like, simulating sex with the stool, talking about, I can't say it on the show, but it was all like sex stuff and like grow. And there's still some stuff in there, but it's more rooted in reality.
Well, this is a very deep session. I think we did some good work here today. We'll take you 45 minutes in a week. We'll do it again.
I'm afraid I'm going to hurt myself.
What? Jay Moore.
No, I thought I'd mix that in with my therapist before I leave my therapist.
I'm afraid I'm going to hurt myself. Jay Moore is on stage at the Ontario Improv. That is going to be this whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Irvine next week, then Hollywood, San Jose. After that, you can get all the details on all the tickets on all the shows at improv.com. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin.
This life is more than just a read-through.
Shh.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It is 8:23.
I'm being shushed by Kevin.
Well, you're talking while we have to not talk.
I never stop talking.
That's true.
He never stops talking. And he has the biggest back in Hollywood, I'm told. Comedian Jay Moore in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, appearing on stage tonight at the Ontario, California Improv, also tomorrow night and Sunday. Go to improv.com for Jay's upcoming shows, including the Irvine Improv, the Hollywood Improv, and the San Jose Improv. By the way, Jay Moore, you'll be happy to know, your buddies, the Kevin and Bean Show, are on in San Francisco now at Live 105. So we're going to sell out this. We're going to sell out this San Jose Improv show for you today.
Boy, freaking comico! Whoop de freaking do over there, Bill Shakespeare.
So that's good news for you, is what I'm saying. So go see Jay Moore. You'll love.
I was up in the Bay Area a little while ago, and I did. You guys remember Kevin Johnson, point guard for the Phoenix Suns?
Yes,
he's the mayor of Sacramento, right?
For real?
For reals. For real, son. For reals? Holler at your frog. So I'm in the hotel room, and my wife comes out of the bathroom holding, like, Sacramento Today magazine, and she's pointing to Kevin Johnson. And his mayor photo, he looks, like, super gay.
Okay.
He's just standing there, like, presidential looking, but he's just, I don't know. He's got, me and Mike were talking about it. He just looks a little bizarre. And my wife, do you remember the Law & Order episode where Ice-T had to go undercover to break up the ring of gay black athletes?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh,
that sounds great.
It's like one of the best ones ever. They're like, well, this guy was found with this guy, and then Ice-T comes. Yeah, turns out he's on the down low. And they're all like, and he's got to educate, like, Belzer and everybody, like, see on the down low. Yeah. They all have parties, and when the wives go away, and like they just keep they run the damn low.
But why do they have to break them up just because they're gay athletes, though? What was the crime?
They just went off the rails. It was just a horrible episode, one of a rare misfire on Law and Order. So then my wife comes out of the bathroom with this magazine, and she points to Kevin Johnson's photo, and he does look very effeminate, and she just goes, the mayor's on the down low. He has this 104-pound little redheaded freckles going on. He's on the, and she's, her face is all scratched. He's on the down low. And I look at the photo, and I see that it's KJ, and I go, oh my God, that's Kevin Johnson. And it doesn't register with her. She goes, and he's on the down low. I go, no, you don't understand. That's Kevin Johnson. She goes, he's on the down low. I go, and I'm like, no, stop. I know him. She goes, then you're on the down low.
It was, she's like, perfect for you.
It was like 20 minutes, and neither one of us were ever like reaching the other with our point. Like, she had no concept. She didn't know that I knew who the actual you're on the down low.
That's awesome. And by the way, nothing is more awesome than when athletes go into politics. And when Karl Malone becomes the governor of the great state of Alabama or whatever he's doing, or I mean,
Kentucky? Where is he? Arkansas?
Was it Louisiana? He went to Louisiana Tech.
I thought it was Louisiana, but I don't know. I love it when that happens. But KJ's doing a good job in Sacramento. Is that what you're
saying? Steve Largent's doing a good job. You know, Jim Bunning's doing a horrible job. He's the pitcher that went into politics, and he's just become like a right-wing maniac.
Is he on the down low?
He's on the down low. You got to see my wife do it. It's hilarious. It works well with a C cup. He's on the down low.
That's awesome.
Mike's like, I always picked her in a D cup. I don't know what's going on.
Hey, Jay.
Yes, sir?
You doing any more movies?
Not yet. Thanks a lot.
What's going on? You were in the Clint Eastwood movie. Yeah, I thought that's it. Jay's and now, back and now, bigger than ever.
Sure. Now I'm telling jokes in the Inland Empire. Things are looking up. So, as Dennis Miller once said, something's gone horribly wrong along your vocational ladder. I tell you one thing. On the Clint Eastwood movie, I wanted to tell you guys this story. I thought I told it, but I didn't. It's like the best one is in the movie Hereafter, I walk up the steps, and I'm supposed to go to Matt Damon, my brother, who plays my brother, I'm supposed to go to his apartment to get him to open a whatever. And his neighbor is supposed to hand me his letter that he gives me.
Right.
Did I make that more convoluted than I could have? I'm supposed
did
to go
a guy
to Matt,
try and hand you a letter?
A woman. I go to Matt Damon's door. A woman hands me a letter from Matt Damon.
Okay.
Because he's not there.
Okay.
And the lady is literally supposed to go, hey, Billy, your brother left this for you. She hands me a letter. She goes back into her apartment, the apartment next to Matt Damon's, right?
Yes. Sounds pretty simple.
And Clint goes, all right, why don't we just give it a try whenever we can? So I go up two flights of stairs, this building in San Francisco. So I go up two flights of stairs, creak, creak. I go all the way. I go down the hallway, and this lady steps out of her apartment, and this bitch is going to get an Oscar.
Oh, no.
She steps out in front of the lens, so her head is blocking me.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, leaning over to the side trying to get on camera.
Stay in the shot.
And she goes, and instead of just going, hey, Billy, your brother left this way, she goes, hi, Billy. Yeah, well, your brother's not home.
And don't despair. She said, don't despair.
No, she didn't.
And she hands the letter to me and she goes, he left this for you at least. I reach for it. She pulls it back like I can't get it. And then I put my hands at my side like this is just craziness. It's like my second to last day of filming. Everything's gone great. And then she pushes it against my chest because she knows I'm not reaching for it. And then I take it and she goes, have a great day. And goes back in her apartment. And you hear from down, two stories below, you hear, all right, keep everything rolling. And you just hear like an 80-year-old man coming up these creaky stairs. He's still an 80-year-old guy going up two flights of stairs. And Clint goes, sweetheart, I cannot possibly stress how little this movie is about you. Christ, if I could have hired your arm, I would have. And then as he turns around, he goes, let's do it again, and let's not make a big effing thing about it this time.
Wow.
If I could have hired... And then he looks at me and goes, I think there's unions about that. If I could have hired just your arm, I would have.
He's the funniest guy ever.
He's pretty funny.
He's pretty direct.
I want to work with him again.
I love him.
And anybody out there that has movies in the works, I'm completely available.
It doesn't look like we're turning, you're doing the Ontario Improv.
I am doing the Ontario Improv tonight. Who's a last-minute guy? I am. Let's go see Jay Moore's at the Ontario Improv. But Sunday really is the best night to go.
Sunday's better.
The best.
Are you funnier?
No, I get 100% of the door.
Right.
Oh, okay. So sell out Sunday first is what you're saying.
Sunday's, and plus Sunday's the only one you can really go to work the next day and brag to everybody about it.
But that's
true. You know, I don't want you guys, I don't want people listening thinking like I'm a ne'er-do-well sitting around doing nothing, just telling jokes in steakhouses. But we are
that is accurate.
We are turning my book into a pilot for ABC.
Oh, no kidding.
So,
oh, how about that? Fantastic. Awesome. Jay Moore is here, and he'll be in Ontario at the Improv all weekend long. Go to improv.com. Hey, listen, when we come back, Jay, because we know you're a big sports guy, we'd love to talk about Sanchito and your Jets this weekend.
Real quick, Bean, how many hoarders do you have TiVo'd right now?
Why would you in particular ask about that show?
K-Rock, we'll be back after this.
I really did up this time. Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:38.
Was that Peter Gabriel?
No, it was.
I just heard the tail of the last syllable. Who was that?
It was the Mumford & Sons song, wasn't it? Isn't that what we're playing?
Yeah. Sanford & Son?
Yeah. Yeah, Sanford & Son.
Play my record. It says here that you're dumb, son.
Jay Moore is here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. You think he's crazy this time of day. Imagine what he's going to be like on stage at the Ontario Improv tonight, Saturday night, and Sunday night, especially Sunday night. Go to improv.com for all the tickets and information. Irvine, Hollywood, and San Jose shows coming up later in January as well. All right, we got to talk sports, Jay. I know you love the sports, especially the football.
I'm sorry, real quick. I went on improv.com. I think I'm like the only white touring comedian out there.
Really?
Is that right?
Go to improv.com right now. Holy smokes.
You're certainly the only white touring comic that stops by Ontario.
You know. That is, yeah, it is strange. You do have.
So if I log on, I can buy tickets for D.L. Hughley instead.
Yeah.
Wow,
but
that's
like,
how you're gonna go.
No, it's fine. But it's like way blacker than D.L.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha. Like, we got to talk about your Jets this weekend, dude. Now
they have a shot.
Nobody wants to play the Indianapolis Colts, but
nobody
that's
wants
happening.
To play anybody. I like every year in the playoffs they go, "Who's the team nobody wants to play?" You know what? Screw it. Patriots. I'm going to go on record.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to play the Patriots because when you watch
true.
Like NFL Live, you're like, I don't know. You know, these Chiefs are really going to run people out of the building. That's the team you really don't want to see is the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I'm going to go with the Patriots because they're not going to lose a game again until week 10 of next year.
Yeah. It does seem like we all are feeling like the foregone conclusion is the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl.
They
but
are.
That doesn't mean there's not a lot of good football between now and then.
It's going to be great football. But here's the other thing. In the baseball playoffs, they always go, what's it going to come down to? And every, like, quote-unquote, like, prognostic, the guys that predicted all the experts are like, it's really going to come down to the middle relief in the bullpen. Whichever team is the best. Really? I'm going to take David Ortiz and the great pitcher in the beginning. I'm not going to go with that guy. Oh, I'm
running out of
gas.
For an inning and a half.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad Scott Shields of the Angels made sure we won the World Series. I thought it was more Irvin Santana and Vladimir Guerrero's three grand slams, morons. Look, here's the thing. The Jets drafted just to play the Colts again. They got beat. They were a half hour from the Super Bowl. They were a half away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
And guys like Pierre Garçon
and Austin Colley, guys that you've never heard of that come out of like BYU and Route 10 Tech, are catching like slant patterns because the Jets' nickel and, you know, slot cornerbacks were zeros. So they drafted a corner first, Kyle Wilson. They took the wrong one. They should have taken Devin McCourty because he's a Pro Bowler now.
Sure.
But that's just because you're not going to beat me again with your slot receiver. I'm going to put Revis on Reggie Wayne.
So they have a one-year plan in place so that they don't get beat again like they did last time.
Well, look, I personally believe that's exactly what it is. They drafted just to play that second half against the Colts. I'm going to put Darrell Revis on Reggie Wayne. He's out of the game. I'm going to put Antonio Cromartie on the other guy, and then I'm going to have my slot receiver is going to be on Kyle Wilson. Every woman driving right now is about just like, oh, maybe. Then they drafted an offensive lineman because after the interception, you're going to want to run the ball to keep Peyton Manning off the field. They drafted Joe McKnight out of USC. They drafted a damn fullback. They just drafted to keep the ball, keep it on the ground, and keep Peyton Manning and his Timmer face off the field.
Well, I saved that segment for you, Bean, you creep.
Will it work is the question. That's
no,
a good question.
It won't work.
It has a chance. I personally,
No.
No. I'm a Jets fan.
Right.
I'd be surprised if it worked, but I will say this. They are wired to work at this juncture.
Right.
It's prudent. Right now, they have the exact recipe that will give the Colts a problem, but you got to keep running the ball. Unfortunately, the worst player on the Jets is the offensive coordinator, running reverses and wildcats and throwing bombs. Like, just run the ball. Just keep running the ball. Don't even throw. Mark Sanchez this year shouldn't have ever thrown for more than 20 passes a game.
I'm trying to help you out, Henry. I do a lot of favors for you, don't I? A Jew rule in this day and age. Prejudice against Italians. Can you believe that? You stuttering prick, you.
All right, so you're expecting Indianapolis to win. All right, let's move on to some of the other games because you brought up Kansas City.
No, I'm taking the Jets. I'm taking the Jets.
You're not taking the Jets.
I'm taking the Jets with your heart.
But you know they're going to lose.
Yo, I'm taking the New York Jets.
Are you putting
they're
going
to take off in the dome right here.
Are you putting money on it?
You give me 14 points?
Nope.
Yeah, Jets, $20.
All right. Straight up?
You still owe me $20 in the last
half. How dare you?
Kansas City and Baltimore. That's the boring game. That's the game no one cares about because it looks like a blowout.
No, it's going to be great. You kidding me? It's going to be a slam festival.
Really?
You think that's going to be a good game? Okay. Because all Kansas City can hope is that Charles can run between the tackles and Ray Lewis is just going to wreck people.
He does just kill.
I can watch the Ravens play anybody. Yeah. Ravens.
All right, Ravens.
Okay. By a lot.
All right.
Ralph isn't in here, but you have
I'll
any hope
Ralph.
For his?
No, he's
take
not.
The,
oh, sorry.
You have any hope for his Eagles against a team that seems to be peaking at the right time, Green Bay?
I'm going to take the Eagles.
Eagles, all right.
Really?
Yeah.
They're not favored in this game, right?
Hey,
Green
man.
Bay is favored.
Hey, I don't go. I don't. I'm not. You know, I'm the KRS-One of comedy here. I plug it in and begin.
Can
you have that party without rehearsing? I can. Here's where the problem starts. No heart.
The game that has the potential to be 48-0, but then again could be a great upset.
Spit
New Orleans traveling to the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah,
Listen to this, Jay Morris. New Orleans is favored by 10.5, and it's an away game.
It should be more.
That's a crazy line, though.
Why? The team's 7-9.
Yeah.
I know it is. Look, believe me, I know that. New Orleans got a lot of guys hurt, though.
Look, the Colts are only favored by, 3.5 against the Jets?
I think so, yeah.
That's absurd. They should be favored by 6, at least.
There's no possibility that Seattle wins that
no.
game.
No. No, none.
And
Next.
Yet, this has been a season of that.
Is someone taking note of my pick so I can be rewarded?
We'll write him down, and we'll call you Monday if you want.
Jets are beating the Colts.
Okay.
Ravens are beating the Chiefs.
Okay.
Saints cover against the Sea Hags.
So you're going with the line with that one, though.
What?
You're going the line with that
They'll
one.
They'll cover it.
Okay. No, but I'm saying the other games you're calling straight up, weren't you?
No, I'll however you want it.
I'm saying it. That's what I thought you were doing. The bet we just made
Keep
$20
the show
with the
Jets. Moving along.
All right.
People are going to be like, great, Jay Moore's in again. They're going to talk about football and slow it down. People are stuck on the 10 right now. They're
and
ready to party.
Look, we don't have a sports guy. We have to get in sports whatever we can, Jay, all right?
I'll be your guy.
All right.
So those are your picks. All right, so we're going to call you on Monday and see how you did then.
Well, what about the other games for the following week?
Well, we'll have you on again.
Yeah, but it's still the first round.
Are you going to pick the whole rest of the season?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, your Super Bowl is going to be Patriots, Falcons.
Wow.
Falcons beat the Saints in the NFC Championship game.
Okay. And who
He's
wins
laid
the
it
Super
out
Bowl.
For us here.
Patriots beat the Ravens in
the game.
Right.
But Brady goes down, but comes back, a la Willis Reed.
Okay. Good reference. All right.
Patriots 34, Falcons 28.
Wow. So Jay's taking the rest of January off. He's just told you everything you need to know about what's happening in the next 3 weeks in football.
Oh, I have a time machine. I didn't tell you guys that. I go back in time with a lighter, and it freaks everyone out. I go to the 1700s, and I have a lighter, and I go, hey, everybody, I'm from the future. I brought a piece of the sun with me. Who wants to learn how to give good...
Okay. All right. No football talk, but lots of comedy on stage at the Ontario Improv tonight, Saturday night and Sunday night. Jay Moore is going to be in concert. Improv.com. Upcoming dates, Irvine, Hollywood, and San Jose. All right, so we're calling you on Monday. We're going to see how you did on this, all right?
Okay, Bubby.
Is that cool?
Yeah, I got a kid. I'm up at 5 a.m. anyways. A maniac. All right.
Say hi to your lovely bride.
My son's a longshore fisherman, apparently. 5 a.m. They never wake you up like in the movies where it's cute, like, Daddy. And you go, hey, what is it, little fella? Come on up. No, they come in your room at 3:30, and they just stand over your bed and stare at you like Paranormal Activity for like 2.5 hours, filling the room with creepy energy. So by the time that they go, Dad, you go, ah! And you grab them by the throat, and then you tuck them back in and go, you had the weirdest dream that Daddy grabbed you by the throat. Here, have a Benadryl strip. I'll see you in 4 hours.
Parenting advice from Jay Moore. Thank you, man. We got a great half hour coming up. Not now, not with Ralph and the showbiz nonsense, but I'm saying after that, after the top of the hour, an amazing half hour of radio still ahead. LaQuisha joins us talking about a review of last night's premiere of Jersey Shore Season 4 and the Coen brothers. The actual guys, Ethan and Joel, are going to be joining us here on The Kevin and Meade Show. How about that?
That is awesome.
Talking about True Grit. That's all straight ahead here on The Kevin and Meade Show. Now Ralph is here. What's going on, man?
I believe you misspoke when you said the Packers were favored on Sunday.
That's game. What Dave was just telling me. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Eagles are favored.
Sorry about that.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Either two and a half or 3 points on every betting site. So all I just wanted to know where Bean got his information from. That the Packers were favored
incorrect
in that game. I'm just curious.
It
was he's going to go shoot his mouth off about who's
it
favored.
It was a mistake. I apologize.
I was curious to know where he got his information.
A lot of facts and figures to keep straight. I was wrong. I didn't get the information from anywhere. Apparently, I was
this weekend. By the way, it's four
easy
games,
right,
as opposed to the 16 there usually are. There's four games to keep track of, that's all.
All right.
I'm just curious.
I was in error.
I'm curious where you got the information. I'd like to know where that came from.
I did not mean to offend.
Site, which betting parlor, where you got
wrong
that information.
Move
no, I'm just
what's
curious where
you
that came from. I'd like to know where
now
it came from.
Now I want
from
Green Bay to win.
Now I'd like to know where it came from. That's all.
Sorry, I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that.
Yeah,
I did a bad thing.
You did a horrible thing. You should... You should be raped.
Well,
I don't know. That seems strong.
In the ear.
Okay.
We sincerely apologize for any statement that may have offended any of you.
Before I get to the news, I've got passes to give away, as I have every hour, for the red carpet world premiere of The Green Hornet, starring Seth Rogen, Jay Chou, Christoph Waltz, Cameron Diaz. I have to say all the names like a German, though. Huh. Yeah. It's happening on the 10th of January.
2011. He's back.
Oh.
Come on now.
You're not. You don't know from bleeding until I get done with you. Then you're going to see what bleeding's really like. It's in theaters everywhere on the 14th of January, Friday. 2011. If you'd like to go before that and see everybody and see all the stars at Grauman's Chinese Theater, call now. Fifth caller at 1-800-520-1067. You get through, you win a pair of passes. It's just that simple. Courtney Cox was apparently furious that she didn't get a Golden Globe nomination for her performance in Cougar Town.
Really?
According to Us Weekly magazine, the day after the nominations came out, she showed up on the set and screamed and yelled her head off in front of everyone on the set. Well, that's a professional way to get
nominated. Really?
Yes.
Did she leave instructions that they were supposed to buy one for her or something?
Wow. Apparently, no one got the memo, and she felt left out, and she threw a tantrum on the set. Which
that's great because sure, it's those people's fault.
I'm sure it endeared her to everyone, cast and crew alike. You guys are talking about the Jersey Shore. J-Wow of Jersey Shore fame, Jenny Farley.
Was the only hot one.
She was in court yesterday trying to keep nude photos of herself off the internet.
Well, let's not rush to judgment on that one.
That's unacceptable.
Right. What?
Turns out she posed for her former boyfriend and former manager, Tom Lipolis. Even though she turned down Playboy's magazine offer for $400,000 to pose nude, she posed for him, and now he is trying to market those photographs. So she took him to court to try to get a cease and desist order and keep that from happening, at least for the time being.
She's one of those women, by the way, who dresses in a way that she leaves
almost nothing to the imagination, but she won't just go that extra 1% and just show it.
Listen to Beanie's angry.
I am very angry because she wears like those mesh tops and stuff with no bra underneath, so you can practically see
like
it.
She
just take it off.
Guy from some trial in the jury. But look the way she was dressed. She should be stripped nude in public for everyone to see.
What I'm saying is you're so close. Just do it, J-Well. Just do it.
Apparently the photos...
You are provocatively dressed yes, all the time right, with your yes. fake yes. boobs you feel you have to show off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Apparently the shots were of J-Well before and after. She had liposuction and a second pair of breast implants put in.
Oh, I see.
Oh, so is it a,
she doesn't want the older Hershey.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, let's release the newer Hershey.
She doesn't want a before and after shot of what her body's looking like these days, because she has lost a bunch of weight, and she did have some liposuction, and she's considerably in better shape now than she was. So
I don't care.
Perhaps she thinks it'll reduce her value on the open market, if that's okay. the case. And we'll talk to the Coen brothers coming up in a little bit. Star of True Grit, Haley Steinfeld, is a local girl from Thousand Oaks, California, here just outside Los Angeles. And she says that she got some help from the L.A. Police Department when it came to getting ready for her role in True Grit. Apparently, her dad is friends with a cop. And so he took her to the shooting range and gave her a chance to shoot some real guns so she could see how it kicks, because she's got to shoot a gun in the film. She'd never fired a gun before, so she spent the day with the LAPD on the shooting range. Just for fun, they gave her a baton and let her beat up homeless people, too. So that was cool. That was an little extra bonus for a young girl like that. Give her a little something extra to look forward to, which I think is nice. Today's celebrity birthdays. David Caruso is 55 years old today. News anchor Katie Couric of CBS turns 54. Nicolas Cage is 47. Rex Lee.
Hey!
Plays Lloyd on Entourage. He's 42 years old today. Jeremy Renner, very, very talented actor, is 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business. Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, talking about their new film, True Grit, currently in theaters, joining us in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin Amin Show. But as the warm-up to talking to those Oscar winners, ladies and gentlemen, our old friend LaQuisha, first time in 2011, back on the Kevin Amin Show. How are you, LaQuisha?
2011. Am I an Oscar winner?
No, I'm saying before we talk to those Oscar winners, let's bring LaQuisha up.
Oh, I see.
You should be.
Damn right I should be.
Right.
And you get some award for sitting through Jersey Shore every week.
I think so.
For white devils.
For folks who have never been lucky enough to hear LaQuisha, she watches reality TV that we won't watch. So she kind of is taking the bullet for the team on this. What in Jersey Shore is the show you're following for us currently?
It's not taking a bullet. You're missing out on all the good stuff by not watching reality television.
Yes.
Especially Jersey Shore. All during the holidays, I was like, get out of my house, family and friends. I can't wait for this holiday to be over so Jersey Shore start up again. It couldn't get here fast enough for me.
Last night, you got your dream.
Because last night was the premiere episode, and not only is everybody back in the Jersey Shore house,
mm-hmm.
except for Angelina, but they're adding a new member to cast this year, Snooki's best friend, Dina.
Dina is like another Snooki. She loves to party. She loves to be loud and obnoxious. She doesn't give a about what anybody thinks. Hello, that's me.
Yeah!
Hello!
Another Snooki, just what we need.
Wow.
No more Snooki.
Yeah.
And Dina, as you can imagine, she's a little nervous about joining the cast because they've been together already for 3 years. And they know each other. It's like a family. And she's the outsider coming into this situation. I can understand why she'd be upset and nervous.
I'm nervous, I'm excited, and I just can't wait to, like, blow the speakers off this house.
Yeah, she's going to blow the speakers off the house.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I had never seen no speakers on the house.
Blow the speakers off the house.
She's going to do it. You're going to find out that Dina does not have a way with words.
Oh, okay.
And she doesn't have a way with people either, because she came in and she met everybody at the show house. And not everybody is that pleased to have her around. For example, I don't think Ronnie has taken a shine to her at all.
Hello! I'm your new roommate.
Snooki walks to the door with his gremlin look-alike, and she says that she's the new roommate.
Yeah, he wasn't too pleased with the gremlin coming in.
Yeah.
Plus, you can't feed her after midnight, and you can't get her wet.
That's right.
So all hell break loose,
yep.
From what I remember. Now, Snooki and Dina, they're going to room together, naturally, because they're best friends.
Sure.
And they're going to stay with J-Wow. The three of them going to be together, because Sammy, the other girl, she don't get along with any of the girls. So they're going to stay together, and the first thing, you know what girls do when they get in a room together when they're traveling on vacation? The very first
Kiss?
Thing they do?
Kiss?
No. Oh. They start comparing their vibrators.
Oh.
You know what that's like.
I don't know.
Lisa, back me up, girlfriend. Don't you and your girlfriend show each other your sex toys and start talking about them?
That's all we do.
That's all, just all good, clean fun. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see mine? I'll show you mine. Show me it. Do you have the rabbit? I call my vibrator the Elmo because tickle me Elmo, you know what I mean? Yes. She's green. That's it? Listen, honey. That does wonders. But, you know, I have Vinny in the house now, so maybe I don't need the vibrator. We'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great group.
She thinks she's going to get some sex from Vinny because apparently they've been going at it off and on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think she's going to be sorely disappointed. Funny thing was, they put out the vibrators and the guys downstairs said, "Who's cooking fish?"
Oh, wow. Doesn't everybody hook up with everybody on this show? Isn't that the thing, Lucretia?
No, Snooki hook up with everybody.
Okay.
But like Ronnie and Sammy, they're just with each other.
Right,
when Ronnie's not out, you know, making out with strange girls and whatnot.
Right.
But Dina, she still has got to catch up with everybody and kind of explain herself to the crowd. So she takes this opportunity at the first meal they all share together. And she's already had a few cocktails.
I love to have a good time. I'm single, ready to mingle. And I'm just like a walking holiday.
Oh, nice.
A walking holiday? Like, what does that mean? Are you going to give out candy? Like, I don't get it.
You seem like a fun time. You really
I'm
do.
A glass in a glass.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She's single, ready to mingle.
Wow.
She's a blast in the glass.
Likes to rhyme.
She's a thriller in Manila. She's a poet and she don't even know it. She is just a walking holiday.
Wow.
What she is. Now, the walking holiday starts to drink a ton of alcohol in the course of the, first few hours.
Good.
At the house.
Good. That's what you want to do.
So she tries to start seducing the situation. Asking him to help her find her cowboy hat, which I think is a euphemism.
Is it? I don't know. I've never heard that euphemism.
And when she finds the hat, she puts it on and goes to show him what she would look like wearing just a bikini and the hat. And while she's trying to undress in her drunken stupor, she removes her bikini bottoms. So she's standing there bare-ass naked, showing off what the Lord gave her downstairs. And everybody thinks that's pretty funny. I think even Dina, when she sobered up the next day, thought it was pretty funny.
When Mike saw my Nana, I was just like, oh my God, like a day? Really? It took a day for somebody to see my goods. I can't.
Well, you can, obviously.
And you did.
And then, by the way, that's not surprising to her at all.
Nah, I'm surprised she waited that long.
Yeah.
It was 4 or 5 hours before she showed her vagina to someone.
It took a day? That's crazy.
Shut up, Dina. So everyone's laughing about it, and she's drunk and getting drunker, and everybody's laughing more. But she doesn't like Sammy, see? And Sammy started to laugh about it, and that was the last straw for her. She started going off in the house, screaming about Sammy laughing at her.
What happened? She's like a in a bag. I tried to be nice to this girl.
Who?
I hope she rots in hell. I do. I will knock her out.
Totally right.
What happened? What did I miss?
Have I done anything wrong being in this house?
Maybe like 5 hours.
Maybe Vinny's like, we've been here for 5 hours. What are you asking if you've done anything wrong ever in this house? Who are you?
Right.
Who are you? We don't even know your name. Well, things quickly escalate out of control because it is the Jersey Shore, and Sammy and Dina start to get into it in front of
all
everybody.
Right.
Hold on a second. Don't walk out of my room. Call me. You laughed at me for no reason.
Hello.
Get real.
I'm so laughing at you.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you. Diana, Dina, whatever the name is.
I didn't
You're the new
you
girl. Shut up. You stupid.
Ooh, here it comes.
You.
Oh.
You. You.
So.
You.
Oh.
That is
they are
just,
charming. They really are.
It's Shakespeare.
Like being backstage at a debutante ball, watching these young flowers of womanhood share their feelings with each other. Well, Snooki is Dina's good friend, and she can no longer stand by and watch her friend be treated like this.
Uh-oh.
You don't want to piss off Dina like that, because even though we're tiny bitches, I don't give a I will attack you like a squirrel monkey.
Yes. She will attack you like a squirrel monkey.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
Do not know if there is such a thing. I know there's a spider monkey.
Sure.
I don't know if there's a squirrel monkey.
There's a squirrel, and there's a monkey.
If a squirrel had a monkey had sex, I guess they would have a squirrel monkey.
And it would attack.
And it would attack you.
Voraciously, right. Okay.
So, just about when Snooki's about to get into it.
Wait, is this a recap of the whole season?
This is one day.
What?
JWoww starts to lose her mind and go after Sammy, and they had, you know, history from last season when they had a fight in Miami. So this is all stuff coming to the surface, and it is game on.
No, no, no. First of all, clear all out you, bitch.
You bitch.
Stop out. Brian, put your hands on me, Kenny.
Body blow, body blow, body blow.
Wow, nice.
That was the end of the very first episode.
That's wow, that was like a whole season before.
I'm out of breath. This is another relaxing summer at the Jersey Shore.
If you stick with this all season long, you'll have completely lost your soul by the end of it. You know that, LaQuisha.
Now, what small price to pay?
Well done. We'll talk to you next week, girlfriend.
Bye now.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 941.
Yes. Come on.
What's happening now?
I don't know. I don't know either.
That was a second mic.
Just hitting buttons.
That was not me.
This time it was me?
That was second mic.
Not Kevin. Not
just
even the
messing around.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, after the show, seriously, and I'm not joking about this, let's all go out and see the Tim McGraw, Gwyneth Paltrow movie. Come on. Ralph, you're in. Let's go see Country Strong together. Come on.
No movie has looked worse to Ralph in history.
If they were playing it on your corpse, I wouldn't go to watch.
Wow, yes, that's something you'd want to see. How about that?
You would.
All right, time for one more look at the showbiz beat, and do we have one final pair of tickets for Green Hornet on Monday?
We sure do. Pair of passes to the red or green carpet world premiere of The Green Hornet. Seth Rogen, Jay Chou, Christoph Waltz, Cameron Diaz, star-studded superhero movie happening at the Grauman's Chinese Theater. Hey. Great, great old Hollywood location. Great place to see a film premiere. They're all going to be there. You might be there, too, if you're caller number 5. Right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. And if you win, you'll be going on January the 10th.
2011!
Seriously. Seriously.
Do it again.
Finger on it.
It was there.
Wait, do it again.
I couldn't have been... Wait, it couldn't have been an easier spot to play that...
One more time.
...drop of audio.
Do it again.
It's happening on January 10th.
2011!
Yeah,
strong.
I know.
Very
but
strong.
Is that, do we have to give you that much of a heads up?
How long have you known me?
Yeah, that's true. The movie, of course, is in theaters everywhere on January the 14th.
2011!
But you'll get to see it before anybody else. If you're the
Are you going, Ralph? You're going Monday night?
I can't. Unfortunately, I have a prior arrangement, so I'm not going to be able to go to the premiere. But
I wonder if Alex Rodriguez will be there, by the way.
Good
Is he still dating Cameron Diaz?
I believe he is.
Hmm.
We'll have to see. Selena Gomez is apparently scared to death of all the little girls on Twitter who are threatening to kill her. She came out this week saying that her relationship with Justin Bieber is completely platonic. She says, Justin is super sweet. I love hanging out with him, but he's just like my little brother. She said about the boy that she was making out with and had his hand on her ass on a yacht over the holidays.
That's creepy.
Calls into question her relationship with her brother.
I would like to meet her brother and see what that's all about. You know, Piers Morgan's taken over for Larry King now that he's no longer on CNN.
That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Piers has announced his first guest.
Larry King?
On his show. It'll be Larry King. Just stopping by. Kevin, your wife's going to be very excited.
Oprah
Winfrey will be his first guest. That's a pretty good get for your first show.
Yeah,
coming
sure
out of the
is.
Gate. He's already taped the interview. It'll be on January 17th will be the first show. And he's looking forward to the challenge of bringing the ratings up. You know, ratings have been struggling over there at CNN. Well, so
Larry King has been just out of it and crazy for like 3 years now.
He always had big name guests, though, for
yes,
the most
but
part.
He's a horrible interviewer.
He's pretty bad.
I'm really impressed with Piers Morgan. I know you told us, Ralph, he has a successful chat show back home in Britain as well, but I really like that dude when I see him on TV. He's real smart.
I'm not aware if he's got a talk show or not in Britain. I know he's the host, one of the judges on X Factor. That's how he got his big break and worked with Simon Cowell. I know he's also was the editor of a tabloid over there in the UK, which gives him a certain entree into the world of celebrity journalism.
Seems sharp.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he's a very clever
They are
dude.
Going a different direction with that show. I'll tell you that.
I tell you, he's a big hit on America's Got Talent, too. He's a host on that, a judge on that show, so he's very popular. So we'll have to wait and see how that works out. Katy Perry's in the news. She apparently has booked a guest appearance on How I Met Your Mother over there on CBS. She will play the beautiful cousin of Jennifer Morrison, who's now on that series. She was on House, of course, for many seasons.
Oh, wow.
So the
two
start
watching that show.
Two of them are going to be right. cousins.
Hope they're kissing cousins.
Giggity, giggity.
Yeah, that's a lot of good stuff right there.
Wasn't really very veiled.
No? I wasn't being oblique about that?
I don't think so. We know what you were saying.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she's in a new movie this weekend, Kevin.
We're all going to see it right after the show.
It's called Country Strong.
I don't care.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
Talks about the odor that comes off of Gwyneth's genitalia.
I don't. Oh,
that's the title. Yeah,
that's low even for you, Ralph.
Come on. Country Strong.
I don't think that's
smells like
the case.
Chicken fried steak and gravy. Anyway, she plays a performer who's got demons. You know, she's battling demons.
Right, sure.
And she's got a drinking problem.
Right.
So in order to get into the spirit of playing an alcoholic, Gwyneth Paltrow said she got into the part by drinking Bloody Marys at 10 a.m. in the morning. Oh, my goodness, Gwyneth. You're an outlaw. You're a loose cannon.
She's crazy.
You need to be dealt with. You're out of control. You drank a Bloody Mary at 10 a.m.?
Once.
Oh, my goodness. You're like De Niro gaining 100 pounds to play Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull. Oh, I wish I could headbutt her right now.
Forgive me if I'm mistaken on this, but don't you need a Bloody Mary if you were drinking the whole night before?
No, Kevin, she now knows what it's like to drink at 10 a.m.
All right.
She said she's now glad that role is over so that she can detoxify for the new year and have a happy liver. I want to stab you.
Why do you hate Gwyneth
so
much?
She's pretty, she's smart, she's
a great actress.
Oh, she's so much smarter than everybody. Read my new Goop website where I'll teach you how to cleanse your body by eating camel grass juice. F yourself right in the ear.
How did she do that?
she's all Gumby and yoga'd out, so maybe she'll find a way.
Ralph, you like Glee? She was great on Glee, the episode that she played a guest star, right? She's very talented.
Horrible on Glee. She was not horrible on Glee.
She was really good.
Yeah.
She was good in the Iron Man movies, too, by the way.
Yes.
Yes, she was.
I agree.
She's a good actress, guys.
That's
what you're forgetting.
It's all CGI.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. They put the suit on Robert Downey Jr., and then they also CGI'd in Gwyneth Paltrow in that film, too, to make her less hateable.
She looked hot.
Let me tell you how to spruce up your home by taking sliced apples and hanging them in the sunshine. F yourself.
Wait, did she say that?
Oh, you ever seen this freaking website she's got?
No.
Goop.com?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, she's like a new age Martha Stewart who just knows so much better than you.
She tells you her favorite restaurants in Paris.
Oh, right.
You know? Yeah. So that I can go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to show her my favorite work boot.
You're not clear on your feelings.
I'm going to stick it someplace, and then she will know. She will have
the American ass
of it.
Here's that website address, by the way, if you want to check out what they're talking about with Gwyneth and her home improvement site.
www.voicesfromspirit.com/V21N5/links.htm.
There you go. I'm pretty sure that's... I thought it was Goop.
Oh, maybe it was just Goop.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Goop.
But she's Country Strong, Ralph.
She sure is. What's that Country Strong odor?
Look, we all admire Chris Martin from Coldplay, right?
Two bocce balls in dress socks hanging off her chest.
He wouldn't marry her if she were that much of a disaster.
What?
I'm just saying we all like Chris Martin.
First of all, they haven't seen each other in about 4 years, those two.
Have you ever seen them
in a photograph together?
They go out of their way to not be photographed.
He lives in Wales or something, and she's on the farm in Connecticut.
they seem very happy together.
Making potpourri out of road apples.
How do you really feel about her?
I like her. Hey, come out tonight and hear me curse. You think this is bitter and angry? Wait till you hear me tonight with Kevin Smith doing our show Hollywood Babylon up at the Universal City Walk. We do a pop culture entertainment comedy show, and it is the two of us
having a good time, getting bitter and angry. Well, I'm bitter and angry. He's sort of soft and cuddly, but he's a stoner and I'm a drunk. That's the difference between the two of us.
Yeah.
Come on, it's out. A nice balance.
8 o'clock tonight at the Hollywood Babylon at the City Walk, John Lovitz Comedy Club. You can go to babbleonralph.com for more details if you want to buy tickets for tonight's show. And then next weekend, it's on Saturday night, the late show after Dennis Miller run at 10 o'clock. So
Smith will just hang out with you. Ralph will want to fight you.
I will not. That's the difference. I am a lover, not a fighter. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? David Caruso is 55 years old today. Katie Couric of the CBS News is 54. Nicolas Cage turns 47 years old today. Rex Lee.
Hey!
Lloyd! From Entourage is 42. Jeremy Renner. What a great actor he is. 40 years old. Did you ever see him play Dahmer?
I did see that.
Oh, yeah. His first big break was he played Jeffrey Dahmer in a low-budget biopic about the,
that's the guy
serial
that ate,
killer,
ate people.
Cannibalistic serial killer. Ooh. And he is remarkable in that film. So
is it possible it's there's some real, that he's really kind of...
He's really eating flesh in the film? Is that what you're thinking? Yeah, I'm saying that's not what
right.
You know,
he's a great actor.
What are the odds
from his? What Bean, by the way, would have seen that film?
I own it. I own that movie.
He's seen it within a week.
He's kidding. I have one of Dahmer's skulls in my freezer right now from one of his victims.
I've got that. I got a whole serial killer collection. I got the Dennehy as Gacy movie. I got that one, too. Those are good. That's good times right there. Wow. Yes, Gene Simmons from Kiss. What's going on?
Well, no. Never mind.
There's a little too much distance now.
Eating flesh, but that was 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Or you started on your rant about how you love serial killers.
Lloyd!
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take your aisle, or whatever your name is.
Ralph will do.
Ralph. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Ralph.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
How's Taco Bell gonna make money off of that?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Really, really loves it.
Roll another one.
I think it's disgusting.
Just like the other one.
She even gave me a blumpkin.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Good guy. Nice bag.
I need another hit.
Gold plated. 24 karat gold, baby. Yeah, you see it. We ain't bragging. We ain't showing off. All we doing... Just telling it like it is, bitches.
Roll another one.
Not ever. No way.
Just like the other one.
Creates an airtight seal.
This one seems to be about to end.
Really?
I don't have another cent.
That's what... She said,
but don't bogart that joint.
That makes me think of your vagina.
Just pass it around.
I'll consider it a date, baby.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Rusty.
Trombone.
But just pass it on down.
Man, there's not enough weed in the world to make that show funny anymore.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. See you next week at this time. Will my insurance cover this?
What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? You just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
So long, jerkwad.
I'm out of here. I gotta go have sex with a lot of girls.
And on that note, I'm going home.
Well, I will see you Monday.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.